The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story. And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen. Cannonball!
PFW in Progress.
We've been coming to the same party for 12 years now, and in no way is that depressing.
With Fred Kirsch.
I don't know how to put this, but I'm kind of a big deal. People know me. I'm very important. I have many leather-bound books, and my apartment smells of rich mahogany.
Paul Perillo.
I'm all about having fun. You know, get a couple of cocktails in me, start a fire in someone's kitchen, maybe go to SeaWorld, take my pants off. Anyway, I become kind of famous for my signature catchphrase.
And Andy. And Andy?
The only way to bag a classy lady is to give her two tickets to the gun show and see if she likes the goods.
Just doing my workout. It's a deep burn. So deep.
Andy Hart.
I'm the stylish one of the group.
I know what you're asking yourself. The answer
maybe
is
I
yes.
Just drink to get drunk.
I have a nickname for my penis. It's called the Octagon. But I also nicknamed my testes. My left one is
Quinn.
And my right one,
Mendenhall.
You ladies play your cards right, you just might get to meet the whole gang.
Eric Scalavino.
Veronica and I are trying this new fad called jogging. I believe it's jogging or yogging. It might be a soft J.
For now, anyway.
You are pathetic. This has to be the feeblest pickup attempt that I have ever encountered. You have a massive erection.
Really? Yes, I do. I'm sorry. It's the pleats.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Gonna find my baby, gonna hold her tight, gonna grab some afternoon delight.
Skyrockets in flight.
Boo!
Afternoon delight.
Whoop!
Afternoon delight.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. I'm back. I heard you guys held down the show okay on Tuesday, huh?
We had a good show.
Everything was all right? Eric reading the emails?
It was okay.
Okay.
Stabbed you right in the back, Freddie.
Did you read them like Alastair Cook from Masterpiece Theater?
I read them as appropriate to each reader, to each writer, I should say.
But he didn't add a Japanese accent when needed, and it threw me off on one of them.
Okay.
He started the show, Freddie, too, by quoting Caesar, which was interesting.
He quoted Caesar.
Yeah, as he stabbed you in the back.
I referenced Caesar.
I
didn't quote him.
You pompous jackass.
I didn't quote him. And a man who bought us lunch for like 350 straight Tuesdays threatened to not buy us lunch.
But he did. Kevin, what happened with the production value of that open?
Yeah, what the F did you do?
Had a new. I had to make that in like 30 seconds because we were already late. So I had to drag all the audio over.
All right.
Well, wait, we've used that open before.
People wonder what my signature catchphrase is.
The new disclaimer had to go in there.
Oh, there was a new disclaimer? I missed it.
Yeah,
we shortened it up, made it more succinct.
So I came down, and since there was...
Don't be offended.
No, I think the reason is obvious. I mean, with all the CBA stuff going on, we need to be absolutely clear that what we say on this show is our opinion. We are not the mouthpiece of the organization.
That is correct.
So we have
That's for sure, as our...
At least Paul and Eric,
as our media director would say.
Right.
That's for sure.
I might repeat what I just said numerous times in this show. No. But anyway, so PFW in Progress is here. 508-543-7482 is the ACE ticket hotline. Web radio is the email address if you want to chime
in. @patriots.com.
Yeah, it's fine.
Webradio@patriots.com. I thought I said
no,
that.
You just said web radio is the email address.
Oh, did I? Well.
@joe.com. And you could just hear them.
What? They're talking?
They were talking. The mic was on. Yep.
He's pulling.
I can hear.
We can hear
we
you,
can
you know.
We can hear you.
What's going on?
There's
don't
a live
swear
mic in
or
there.
Say anything stupid.
Live mic in there.
And two dead dummies.
I just see Kevin, like, pulling wires, and they're wrapped around Doc's waist. And it's a mess in there.
You see, wait a minute. You see Kevin and Jason in there, and Kevin's pulling things that are wrapped around Jason's waist?
Yeah.
People
Please.
Probably assume I'm being mean when I refer to them as monkeys, but it's pretty appropriate. I mean, the other day...
You should hear what we refer to you as.
And that's fine, as long as it's appropriate.
The talent.
Right.
All right, well, guys...
Right. The money drain.
Jason goes, right.
let's get into some football news if there is any.
Kickoffs.
A lot of competition.
Could be a lot of committee stuff to talk about.
I don't like it.
Well, let's talk about
the pussification of the NFL continues.
Well, there's a lot of things
and
so
all that.
I don't know if you're talking about everything that they discussed yesterday, but to bring people up to speed, yesterday or a couple days ago, the competition committee met. And yesterday it was revealed some of the topics that they're talking about. One of the big ones was kickoffs, that they're thinking of moving the kickoffs back to the 30. Or,
no, to the 35.
Forward to the 35.
When they say back, they mean
what it used
to
be.
Right.
Okay.
So it used to be the 35. Right. They moved it to the 30. Now they're thinking of moving it back to the 35. Which, okay, the first thing you think of, everything's going to be a touchback.
Right. Stephen Gostkowski. Boom!
Mm. Right.
Well, if he's fully recovered.
Yeah,
but
I'm a positive person,
but so. They were thinking of moving the touchbacks, their starting line of scrimmage, to the 25.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So maybe there's more incentive for a team that feels that they have good coverage to not put it in the end zone. Your coverage is now closer
by
5 yards.
The average return gets to about the 27, 28.
Right, now at this point.
Right.
But now your coverage team is closer to getting to the ball as well. So maybe you...
I hope what you say happens. Yeah. I hope you see a lot of chipped kicks high and shallow.
Right.
Because this is a whole, like Andy's point, this is a whole big effort to
Have kickoffs.
Add
and
more
returns.
Safety. They're trying to take away the kickoff return, which I personally think is one of the more exciting plays of the game. Mm. And listen, it's a dangerous game. Guys are going to get hit hard, and they're going to get hurt.
They're also
take that out of the game.
They also want to take away
wedges. They're taking it away. I mean, that's going to happen.
They don't even want the two-man wedge anymore. Wedges.
You can't line up. The kicker is the only guy in the kickoff team allowed to be more than 5 yards from the ball, back from the ball, Andy, right? So
they're moving it forward five, essentially. Right. Most teams line up 10.
They're trying to eliminate the kickoff return. They're trying to encourage touchbacks, is there a more boring play in sports than the touchback?
Are they, or the are they trying to just...
Yeah, same thing.
Are they trying to do that, Paul, or are they trying to limit
exactly
the amount of...
Was that a rhetorical question?
Are they trying to limit the amount of all-out collisions that you get on kickoff returns by having, what you said, more high chip shots? So,
oh, no, that's not going to eliminate those collisions if they do that. The touchback will eliminate the collision.
I know it will, but I think we're going to
ask Rob Gronkowski how the high short kick eliminated the contact.
I think, and again, this
but
is he, all
that was also added to the other rule we're going to talk about.
This is all up for vote, so nothing here has changed yet, right?
But they have unanimously said recommended
this is
that
what
they
they're
would like
to propose to the owners, right?
Right.
But don't you think though that moving the starting line of scrimmage to the 25 might have some teams saying, you know what, we're going to take our chances, you know, the shorter kick.
No, 25 is better than what you were hoping for on a kickoff.
Well,
for starting spot.
My thing is always trying to, you know, your goal, if you don't kick it into the end zone, is to try to get them before the 20.
28.
Well, that's the average, yeah.
No, that's not the average. That's what teams look for. Is to get him inside the 28. The return team tries to get outside
feels
the
like
32.
It's going down a Devin Hester road that we went down once.
We've had this one before. I know we have.
I've been to this argument before. It wasn't fun the first time.
And I'm not using my own numbers. I'm using Bill Belichick's numbers. That's what their goal is, to get them inside the 28 and on returns outside the 32, to the 32 and beyond. That's their goal. It's like,
and
you
I
know,
think
it's
right,
like, you
the
know,
average is like the 27 or 28.
Four yards. Why would you not want to start in the 25? Why would you not want to have a better starting spot than the average?
Well, but the average is going to go up.
Is my point
because
being,
the 25, instead of 20s, you're getting 25s every time.
If you want to do it short and high and all that stuff to try to do that, that's fine. You can do that. But that's not going to eliminate the contact. That's going to eliminate the goal of the competition committee.
Yeah, I
that's why I hope it happens. I hope Fred's right.
I think
I
they
hope
just
teams
want
do
touchbacks.
That.
They want
that's what they want. They want touchbacks. Yeah, see, and I hope that Fred's right. And they go say we can get better than the 25.
But did the competition committee actually come out and say our goal is to try to eliminate as many returns as we can?
No. Safety, player
injuries,
safety.
Yeah,
that's what they said. Player safety.
Well, then you know what? And I heard somebody brought this up. Get rid of the kickoffs. Then, you know,
no.
Well, because.
Why are we getting rid of everything in the NFL that includes contact? It's a contact sport.
I know, but pretty much, well, that's what I'm saying. It's getting ridiculous.
Yes.
I mean, pretty much every kicker today, you know, kicking from the 30 gets it within the 5. Yeah. They're all going to be able to hit the end zone, you know. So,
that's why they moved it back to begin with, because they were already getting a lot of touchbacks.
They wanted to add kickoff returns as an exciting play.
Right.
Now so they pushed it back 5 yards. Now they're going to move it forward. You're going to get a lot more touchbacks and maybe what you say, Fred, a lot more effort. You know, maybe you kick it a little bit higher and shorter intentionally to try to land them high inside the 10 and inside the 5, get your coverage down there and try to start them off with really bad field position. I hope that happens because I think that will work counter to what the competition committee, which, by the way, is increasingly annoying, that whole competition committee.
Now, you can say
irrelevant. Are there any actually, like, relevant people on it?
I don't know.
They've all lost their jobs, the people that are on it.
Well, that doesn't mean that change might have been needed there.
No. They're still on it. They just lost their real jobs.
Oh, the real jobs.
Rich McKay is now just a guy for the Falcons. Dimitroff runs the show.
Right.
Fisher doesn't have a job anymore. There's another guy, I believe, who's on it and doesn't really have a job.
Well, you know, you could say that, well, maybe more teams will give the green light to their returners that, you know, if you're 5 yards deep, run it out. You know, but I don't think they will because, the coverage team is now 5 yards closer to you than they were before.
And the guy's got to get, everybody always said, as long as you get to the 20, okay, you got it back. Well, now you got to get to the 25 to get it back.
I think it'll depend on whether or not a team has a good defense and a bad special teams coverage unit. What they'll decide to do on those in those situations. Like a team like, say, Baltimore, that historically has a good defense, might say, you know what, let's say they have a bad kickoff coverage team. They might just say, yeah, go ahead, let's go for the touchback because we'd rather have our defense out there, guarantee that they're at the 25, which is below the average of where the starting field position is. On the other hand, a team with a good special teams coverage with a not-so-good defense might say, yeah, let's take our chances and try to pin them deeper. I don't know.
There's really no incentive for a team to try to run it out of the end zone.
Situationally. I mean, at the end of a half, end of a game, you need a big play. There is. If you're looking to hit that home run and change the game. But, you know, first kickoff of the game, first and 10, 25.
And I also think that they're going to be more no-brainer touchbacks. You know, you're catching the ball within a yard of the back line of the end zone, especially early in the year when the weather's good everywhere. I think you're going to get a lot of, you know, you're not going to get Ellis Hobbs taking it out 108 yards when he later admitted to Andy and I didn't realize I was that close to the back line.
Now, does this affect interceptions in the end zone, you know, that start at the 20?
I'll let you handle that.
It's kickoffs. It's got nothing to do with anything
else. No, I know, but will the...
No.
No?
No.
So the starting line at the 25 just be...
It doesn't affect punts either. It affects kickoffs.
Okay.
That's why it says kickoffs.
No, I know, but, you know, the 20 has been for years. Like the defense.
Oh, shut up. You said I'll let you handle this, Andy. You were going to jump on him, too.
Because originally I was thinking, what is he talking about? But touchbacks.
Any touchbacks.
If a touchback
then it would say the rule touchback. It said kickoffs.
Right.
Now let's get to the other wussification.
There was another part of that is unclear to Andy and I. I don't know.
I clarified it.
Okay, what is it?
It is, I forgot.
The kickoff, if it goes out of bounds.
It's...
There was a thing that we read yesterday on Pro Football Talk that explained if a kickoff goes out of bounds, that penalty is the same. That will remain unchanged. You'll get the ball at the 40. Well, that wasn't what it used to be.
It was 25 yards from the line of scrimmage or whatever.
So they did change it.
No, they're changing the penalty. It used to be from 25 yards from the line of scrimmage.
30.
Now it's 20 or whatever.
Yeah.
Now it's 25. They chopped off the 5 yards.
Okay.
So... On a regular play, it's still the 40-yard line.
Okay.
They cut off
the 5 yards.
So
they did change the penalty.
Yes.
Okay, because, that's a common misconception, I think, among fans, is they automatically think
it's now 25.
Kickoff goes out of bounds, you get the ball at the 40. Well, the actual penalty is the receiving team has the option to get the ball 30 yards from the spot of the kick. So
if you had a personal foul penalty and you were kicking off from the 15 and you kicked it out of bounds.
You'd get it 30 yards from the 15. You wouldn't get it at your own 40.
Right.
You know, a lot of people say that. Why don't they just kick it out of bounds? You get the ball at the 40 on a play like that, you know, and take your chances.
Now it's the same except it's 25.
And it was written yesterday that penalty is unchanged. And Andy and I were like, well, what is unchanged about it? You know,
because in the quote he actually alluded to, that'll stay the same at the 40, and so it didn't really. But they've cut 5 yards off the penalty yardage basically because they advanced it 5 yards. But the other rule is going further and further with this defenseless player rule now, because they've 8 or 9 points they went deep on that one, and it's everybody. Basically, everybody on the field who's doing anything, don't hit them when they're doing something.
Kickers, quarterbacks throwing, receivers in the act of catching.
Yeah, runner if not. Oh, yeah. Runner held up by another.
Forward progress has been stopped.
A quarterback in the act of throwing, a quarterback after an interception, a blindside block, a kicker or a punter, a return man making the catch, a running back who's in the grasp. Basically, it's anybody who's on the football field.
Yeah, we now have in the grasp for a running back.
Basically,
they struggled with in the grasp for quarterbacks, and he's standing in the middle of a pocket.
Put his hand on.
Yes, you're right, Fred. Well said.
All right.
I think they're going a little bit overboard. And I understand the need for player safety, and it's certainly the highest level of
so just stop playing the game.
Of interest right now in all sports. We're seeing it in hockey every night. We're seeing it in football. We're seeing it in every sport. It's a dangerous thing with these concussions, but I think they're taking it too far.
But I do think that they should be concerned with player safety.
I agree.
Maybe not. They might not be executing it right, but I agree with their concern with player safety.
And that's right. But they're going way too far, and they're ruining the game. It's very simple. You don't need 8 points on 8 rules. You need one penalty, unnecessary roughness.
Right.
Let the officials call unnecessary roughness. Wherever it is, against whoever it's against, unnecessary roughness.
Right.
Call it. That's it.
And why isn't there an emphasis on proper tackling in this discussion? Because with proper tackling, you avoid a lot of the concussion-inducing hits to the head. Do you not? So why isn't that being discussed anywhere as something that needs to be taught and administered more? I don't get it. That story about Brandon Merriweather
today.
You're
preaching to the choir.
No, I know.
I've been saying the same thing.
That story about Brandon Merriweather in the Globe today that went back to his hometown and had that really long piece, they talked to, I believe, the high school coach in Apopka and was saying, oh, yeah, if the NFL had seen Brandon's high school tapes, he used to decapitate people.
Yeah,
they wouldn't let him play. Why did you teach him to hit that way?
Why
did you allow him to continue doing that?
Right, because you were winning football games and
nobody
gave it you know what.
It's terrible.
Yeah. So, no, it is. So, what are the other things that they were talking about? Defensive players, kickoffs. They addressed the Calvin Johnson catch that was a non-catch during the season.
Oh, but they made it even worse.
Well,
I thought they decided to leave that alone.
Yeah, they did.
But they added a phrase. I believe now instead of football act, it says a period of time or a – like a vague time, like not 1 second,
they,
not a two
they
count,
actually made
a
the
period
rule,
of time.
They actually made the rule more vague.
Yes.
Yeah.
Stupid.
I didn't know that. The only thing I had read about that was that they decided to leave that unchanged. I didn't know that they added
a little wording, and it's a vague period of time.
They didn't really change the rule, but like Andy said, they made it more vague.
Horrible. I don't know how you cannot change that rule.
Terrible.
Yeah.
If there's a rule that says that what Calvin Johnson did last year is not a catch, that needs to be changed.
Yeah. So, I forget who they interviewed. It might have been McKay, but he said that we spent a lot of time with this particular catch, non-catch subject, which we do all the time. It seems like we spend a lot of time going over this. But they just, for whatever reason, can't come up with a way to clear that up.
And they also, all scores that have a questionable call will now be reviewed in the booth, not
well,
on
I heard
coach's
all
challenge.
Scores will be automatically reviewed.
Yeah, yeah. But, I mean, they'll just...
Like college
fluff over,
does.
Yeah, they'll fluff over anyone that didn't.
Right.
And then they'll call down to the official and have a challenge, booth challenge to any score with some controversy. They're eliminating the third challenge for coaches. And coaches now have only 2 challenges instead of the third if you got both of them correct.
See, I think that's so unfair. If you challenge and you are proven correct.
You should get as many as you want.
Exactly.
I agree.
You know?
I said this to Andy yesterday. Where is the hue and cry from NFL fans over the length of games? Like in baseball, people complain, even strong baseball fans like me, complain about the length of games. They're too long. I don't know anybody in football who complains, you know what, I'd like to watch that game, but they just take too darn long.
It's probably the networks that are complaining that they want it to stop so that the next one that starts isn't stepped on. You know, that's probably their only concern.
I think that's why they moved the time. But all games are like the exact same anyway.
I just don't get it. And the network should be happy if there's a review, pump a commercial in there, or have the review sold.
The vast majority of those games go between 250 and 310.
Right. Yeah.
Somewhere in that 20-minute window. Is that really affecting game times all, you know, all over the place? And you can go to the start of the game in the market that you need to go to.
You do a fan poll. What would you rather make sure that more
make sure the call is right,
or the game's 10 minutes longer?
Or I get to see San Francisco in Arizona on time.
But when was the last time there was a 10-minute review? It's like a minute.
But that's my point. It's not really affecting the game length that much. In college football, every play is reviewed. But that's not reason why college football games take so long. The rules are different. The timing rules are different in college football, and they haven't adjusted to that to catch up to the way the NFL has done it with you know, out of bounds and all that kind of stuff at any time during the game. And that's the reason why college football games are so much longer than pro football games. The first downs, you know, setting the chains and all that stuff. The clock doesn't stop for those things in the NFL.
And I actually don't think you'd lengthen the games, Fred, if you went to your unlimited rule.
I think unlimited challenges. Absolutely.
Less than 5 minutes or 8 minutes difference in the games
that went deeper. As long as you keep being
right.
Yeah.
And most games don't have that. Let's face it. There's not that many plays that require reviews.
That's why I'm saying even with
they
unlimited, what are you going to get to? Maybe four in the most dramatic of scenarios. You get four challenges that a guy would use. Maybe.
Right. And the guys that are review happy, they're going to get hurt themselves because they're going to be wrong twice, and now they're going to lose them.
Right.
You know, so you will still have to be selective as to when you challenge.
Right.
The catch thing, it
might show up the refs more because now every
time. Screw the refs.
Well, that's what I agree.
You know, we're worried about.
Why do we have to take everything? They can't have any responsibility. We can't show them up. Yet they show up 16 times a year and make 100 grand a year for a part-time job.
We have to take all of the discretion away from the ref because we can't trust them to determine what a catch is or not. But then we don't want to show up the refs. If
you don't want to be shown up and you don't want to be criticized, don't take the job. Very simple.
Well, don't make mistakes.
Stay home on the weekend and, you know, do your legal practice Monday to Friday and then stay home all weekend.
Or, you know, if you had hockey, you can spend the weekend lifting.
Right. Like get a pump on.
Like Andy. But, you know, the whole catch thing, you know, as you know, Fred, I get annoyed by that. I was watching NFL Network had a couple of, you know, the half-hour things they do for the Super Bowls, the old Super Bowls. I was watching they had a couple back-to-back yesterday, 76 and 77. And I'm watching these plays from the Cowboys-Broncos game. The Broncos turned the ball over six times in the first half of that game. You know, things that you don't really remember when you were a little kid, Andy. You weren't even born.
I really wasn't, right?
I don't. 77.
Oh yeah, no.
Yeah. There were everything was a catch.
Going back to the '40s, Paul.
Like everything was a catch back then. You know, there was more of these like plays where a guy caught the ball and gets hit, and there was a fumble. You know,
and they ruled it a catch and a fumble.
Now I'm not advocating
that. Whereas
today
it would be an incompletion.
But nothing is a completion now. I mean, you have to take it with you have to go to the hospital to get your firstborn with the ball still intact for you to get a ruled a catch. Nothing is considered a catch anymore. This whole completing the act of, where do we get this phraseology from? Yeah. You know, the act of the catch and completing the process, it doesn't have to be that difficult. Like you guys, I don't even know this, adding to make it vague, that Fred and Andy are talking about.
Yeah.
Why are we adding these kinds of things? Why can't you just look and say, he caught that?
Right.
He caught it.
Right.
Calvin Johnson caught the ball.
Right.
Like I said, the Aunt Camilla test.
Yeah.
My Aunt Camilla can look at the Calvin Johnson play and say, geez, Paul, why wasn't that a touchdown? And if that happens, there's something wrong with the rule.
Right.
If anybody can look at the game and see this was a catch, that wasn't.
Yeah, they don't want to leave it to the discretion of the official who's standing right there and can, or anybody.
And Andy's point
can,
on that is dead on. You can't give any power to these guys, but then you're worried about hurting their feelings?
Mm.
They have no power anyway. So what are you worried about?
Yeah. All right, so that was at least some football news from yesterday that, you know, didn't have to do with the CBA. And it's interesting, every year the competition committee either creates new rules or new points of emphasis. This kickoff one, though, I don't know about this one, you know.
I think this could draw some geniuses at the league.
See, here's the thing. If they said, okay, let's just move it up back to the 35 – that'd be one thing. But the whole thing with the 25-yard line, why did they have to throw that in there, too?
Well, because when you move forward, you're obviously going to have more kicks into the end zone.
I know, but for
as
years,
Eric said, that's why we
before
they went back.
Before they moved it to the 30 for years and years, it was still at the 20. It was never at the 25.
Because people
back
were kicking straight on with flat-toed shoes, and I mean, now you have specialists, guys whose legs are strong enough to put the ball in the end zone with regularity.
Yeah. Pretty much
Steven
Gostkowski on the field, yeah,
is going to put it in the end
and
zone.
And they're trying
every
to
time
entice teams to take the touchback.
Right. It's all about they don't want returns.
Right.
If it left it at the 20, you might get a guy taking it out from 8 yards deep.
Pussification of the game,
as Andy would say, taking it deep. Yeah.
Just a quick report off Twitter.
That's what Andy said.
According to the rap sheet, in case it's wrong, Missouri Pro Day told tight ends coach Brian Ferentz and area scout Tim Heffelfinger in attendance. Obviously, Fred, you know that's to look at. I'm putting you on the spot here.
The quarterback.
Alden Smith.
The quarterback. Alden Smith, one of the elite defensive end outside linebacker prospects. A quarterback, Blaine Gabbert.
Blaine Gabbert. Yeah.
But these are Patriots scouts. Did you want to take Blaine trade up and take him with the third pick? Are you trying to run Brady out of town? I know he's done some things lately that, you know, might not sit well.
He's just laughing.
Evil laugh.
I right also heard Tom Brady made the list of top 10 most attractive male Irishmen. It's kind of redundant to have male Irishmen.
And what was this?
I forgot. Somebody was reading it on the radio.
Patty O'Sullivan's Urban Life or something?
He was
what
like,
is that from?
He ranked like sixth. I forgot who exactly. It was for St. Patrick's Day, obviously.
I don't know, but what publication?
George Clooney was one. I'm trying to think. Pierce Brosnan was in the top five, I believe. And Brady came in at sixth, and actually the girls on the radio show I was listening to, oh, no, no way, because of the hair.
Brady.
No longer attractive.
Pitching a 10 back there.
Well, there's some news that's not CBA.
Right. You want Alden Smith? No, sorry, you want Blaine Gabbert.
Webradio@patriots.com is the email
long
address,
hair,
508-543-7482. On the Ace Ticket Hotline right now is Tyrone from Delaware. Hey, Tyrone. Tyrone, he's gone.
No longer on the Ace Ticket Hotline.
Is he gone, or did the monkey?
It's 12:29. I don't think that is, you know, too much to ask to hang on.
Maybe he got pulled over. Maybe a cop was.
We just started the show. I can't get to the phone.
Maybe the monkey dropped
right away.
No, he called like right when we were in the open.
Yeah,
he's
so that's,
yeah,
you gotta, that's yeah not that's not talk
that's
show
only a
etiquette
circumstantial defense on your part.
Talk show etiquette is you open the show, you set the table, mm-hmm, and then eventually you get to the
maybe
calls.
You go to a break, and then you have people
read a little
call
Shakespeare.
In.
Yeah, most call wait times at the sports talk radio stations are well over a half an hour.
That's
we're
right
not a sports talk radio station. We don't, most radio stations have more than one line.
Well, we're gonna have
he's talking
more than
fast,
one
Paul.
Line soon,
right? We will soon.
Yeah,
two.
Fred will be in charge of the phones.
Six.
It'll be a scary
up
proposition.
Up to six.
Yep.
Okay, what does that mean? Because zero is up to six.
Well, one of them will probably assign just as a hotline for guests, so that'll always be an open line.
For Nolan Naraki. We're leaving the line open for Nolan if he wants to call.
Speaking of him, what's the deal
with I should
with
probably
him
read it, huh?
What's going on with Nolan?
I don't
Nolan
even know if I told you this. You don't have, forget it, right at your fingertips, me ripping him and saying that he's been riding the coattails of a dead man for years. But that's basically what I said on Tuesday. I stand by it. But I got an email in my inbox Wednesday from Pro Football Weekly, and they're actually pimping a new draft app, Fred, so you might be interested in this. They have a new draft app with all their PFW crap on it. But under the ad for the draft app is a quote from an influential and pretty popular in these parts football coach. And that quote says, "Nolan Naraki's comprehensive work in the draft is pure football." That's from one William Belichick.
Yeah, but wasn't that the exact same quote that he attributed to Joel Bushmaster?
I don't recall that. It's possible.
Because I know he was quoted.
That's what I said.
I know he liked Bushbaum.
Ooh, that's a live
oh, I know he did. Huh?
So that's just wrong because they didn't put in PFW. It says Nolan Naraki. First
yeah
and last
my
name.
My question is, did they just change the name?
That's wrong then.
It is.
I'd sue. Bill Belichick should be suing
because
that's not what he said.
That's right. He didn't say it about
let's
Nolan
let's get a
Naraki
lawsuit together.
Unless he did. But it was the same thing.
Andy Hart et al. Versus
we
Nolan
don't know
Naraki
just
et al.
But
just to recap, Fred Kurz
PFW
says,
versus PFW.
No, that's not what he said. Unless he updated it. He
no,
said,
I specifically said, remember yeah a quote from Bill Belichick about Joel Bushmaster.
He loved him. He
and
went
it
to the funeral.
And it was
or
eerily,
the mass or
if not exactly, it was eerily similar to that one.
So let's do some investigative reporting.
Yeah.
Let's find out if these people are lying and using our coach's words out of context and flat out inappropriate.
I think that's worth some investigative report.
Strippers on it. You're our investigative arm.
No, all we have to do is send an email.
To
find out. Did Bill say this?
Oh, yeah, good point. Send that email.
I can't right now. I'm on a show.
I'm on a show.
Web radio at patriots.com.
What else is going on?
No, just web
radio. Anything before we get, I mean, obviously people, I'm sure, will want to talk about the CBA.
The stupid rules.
There's no new news, although I did read on Pro Football Talk from yesterday where Jerry Jones, I guess, walked out on a meeting last week, basically said to the, in a face-to-face meeting, you're obviously not listening to us and we're not hearing you, so now we're just going to have to show you. And he like kind of tapped his fists together and got up and walked away.
Is that like better MMA? If he did the fist to palm? Like,
is that like the MMA face, like tap out?
No.
No?
That's tap out.
I don't know. So
I think he meant like, you know, those
butting heads, butt heads. Butting heads.
Goats butting heads on the mountainside. Yeah.
But what bothers me about that
Dodge
is
Dodge trucks
like,
are ram tough?
So yeah. What? You know, so what? What is, where all of a sudden are these people getting their feelings hurt? You know, oh, they said it in this tone or, you know. Why are we even like?
Because they're sick of each other.
Yeah, they spent a lot of time together.
What, 9 days in a row or something like that? That they were, if not together in every meeting, they were together in Washington, butting heads over this stuff.
I mean, Andy and I get like that after a few hours together. I mean, right. Expect these people to go
but
all this time.
But you still come to work the next day.
Who have to.
You know, these people
are
getting.
If I were Jerry Jones and I could walk away, I'd walk away.
These people are taking the ball
never
and going
see me
home.
Again.
You know?
Who's these people?
All of them. Both sides. Yeah. You know, he said it this way.
There's certainly plenty
of blame.
He looked
at me funny. And,
well, I'd like to ask, is there any of that from – is there any accusations that the players have done anything inappropriate?
Pour me a Diet Coke,
are you even going to listen?
Yes, I'm listening. Some of it what?
Are there any accusations – because there were the accusations that Richardson had his comments about boy, and then now there's accusations that, you know, Jerry Jones is going to have to show you or whatever, pounding his fist. Are there any accusations that the players have been in any way disrespectful, or what are those? Give me those.
Absolutely.
Okay, tell me them.
Just yesterday, one of the players came right out on radio and called Goodell a liar.
Wait, which player? I'm talking about in actual negotiations at the table. Breeze, Mawai,
Manning.
I think Mawai
said that they've been lying.
No, at
just Saturday.
No, I'm talking. These
during
are
the, during the discussions.
Jerry Richardson was reportedly talking to Peyton Manning disrespectfully.
Gotcha.
Boy, do I need to explain this to you?
Gotcha. I don't.
Jerry
know.
Jones was
do you
clearly
know how
threatening
to read
them.
You know, profit and loss sheet.
Yeah.
Boy,
no, I don't know.
I want a quote from Breeze saying, "Hey, Grandpa, we are this league, not you. Get out of my face." Something like that.
That would be the
I haven't
similarly
heard that.
Disrespectful.
Yeah, I don't know if it's happened.
The players
during...
have said and done a lot of dumb things. I mean, Adrian Peterson's slavery comment, and I do think that it was probably taken in a little in a way that he really didn't intend. But he said it. He said something stupid.
Well, and it's one of those things. You got to be careful.
Exactly.
Slavery, Hitler, things of that nature. If you're going to use them.
Yeah. Rich and I talked about that yesterday.
Make sure
what
they're
are these guys going to learn? You can't talk about this stuff.
War.
Hitler, you got to keep that out. I go,
yes.
That's me and Andy's favorite rule.
No jokes about Hitler.
He also
never
said
talk
that
about
players,
Hitler.
Players were getting robbed. When you make $10 million a year, none of these players are getting robbed of anything.
It's true.
Yeah, it was an unfortunate choice of words and a dumb thing to say. No
well,
question.
It's interesting because the day before yesterday, Goodell was interviewed. And he said in the interview that, look, we can have differing opinions. It doesn't mean that one side is lying. And then the next day he was directly called a liar. And I think that's probably not the first time he's been called a liar. And probably it's come face to face. But there's no reports that I know of, you know, this type of face.
That doesn't mean it hasn't happened.
Yeah, exactly.
We all know how leaks and sources and stories and can work.
But I like
did
we
you
were talking this morning.
Interview?
I'd love to have George Cohen tell us what really has what he thinks.
What
he,
George
he
Cohen thinks?
He can't do that. But
George Cohen, I'll tell you.
You know the objective observer to have you know his take on all this.
But he can't.
And really, what his opinion would be if you had to come down on one side, who would you come down on? I'd love to hear what he would say.
Can he not even do that?
Yeah. No.
Once I mean, like,
that, then he's
you think at this point in his career he could even do that? Isn't he like programmed now to see both sides and come to a
probably
just how
like,
he's wired?
Yeah,
like he's
so
not really
conditioned.
I see that point. Oh, I see that point. Yeah. Well, we'll have to blend the 2 points.
Like if I were in those meetings, I would immediately, you know how I am. I would immediately.
Me too. I would hear one argument and say, I agree.
That's a good
point. Would never even get to the second.
Right. Nothing the other time. You know.
But my guess is with his career as a mediator, his wiring has changed and he only sees it.
And that could definitely work both ways. Like I could hear the owner say something because right now I'm probably a little bit more leaning on the player's side. Although I do definitely think there's a lot of blame. There's a lot of blame to go around. But I could hear the owner say, you know, I could hear Robert talk about this, and I go, that's a really good point. I never really thought of it that way. And I would be completely swayed. No question about it.
Well, that's the whole thing. Every time one side comes out with something,
it makes a lot of
sense. I'm the same with Paul. I'm like,
it makes a lot of sense.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense. And then the other side says, yeah, but they didn't say this.
And like, I go, oh, that's true. Yeah. I'd be the worst George Cohen ever.
But then Demora Smith came out with the truth. And
Oh, yeah, of course.
And the press release, yes, the truth.
My favorite press
NFLPA
release
NFLPA
ever.
Responds with the truth.
As Andy said on Monday, they won the weekend.
They did. An open letter from Roger Goodell, or the truth.
We mentioned that on Tuesday.
Not really.
But they, you know, Fred
wasn't here.
We talked about all of the stuff that – in the immediate aftermath of, you know, the way it ended, you know, they hit the deadline, decertification slash lockout. The owners came out with a lot of stuff from Jeff Pasch and, you know, sort of explained their side and all the things that the players didn't do. The players union responded with a memo from D. Smith that was simply titled, the quote, truth. The truth. They definitely won the weekend. With
That's
that
well
one.
Said. That implies that they weren't giving us the truth and all the other statements that they released?
Well, no, the owners aren't giving you
those
the truth.
Those were pre-truth.
So,
are we going to talk Randy Moss?
Yeah.
Should we stay out of trouble with this?
Well, just to wrap this up, April 6th.
You getting a little uncomfortable?
No, not at all.
April 6th is when this new judge, Judge Nelson, will hear, you know.
Judge Judy?
The Richard Nelson. This whole case. And so we'll see. When I first saw the date, April 6th, I'm like, oh, my God, they're going to wait that long.
That's TJ's birthday.
That's not that far away, really.
It's only what, 3 weeks?
Yeah.
Would get a little dicey, though. A ruling there, everybody says you might need a week or so. Now you're at the 16th. Now you're getting closer to the draft and how things might unfold.
But
now,
what happens, though, if the NLRB makes their ruling before April 6th? Then that throws things into a little bit of a tailspin.
It does. Like you said, things can happen between now and April 6th that, you know, we'll see. Randy Moss.
And, you know, we'll see.
Well, we'll see. I mean, what else can we say? What do we know? We know nothing. You know?
That's for sure.
All we know is we're still here, which we're grateful for.
Knock on wood. You know? Composite.
For Micah.
We're very grateful for that. But.
Thank you, Robert.
Randy Moss is another person who would love to be here. And I guess on a radio interview.
You got that clip ready?
No.
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 Nothing. What are you doing?
Teats on a bull.
Standing here.
At least he admits it. Did you get anything to eat?
We don't have the Randy Moss clip.
Buffalo pizza. It was delicious. Thank you.
If you go to their website, I think it's KFAN, Minneapolis.
Nope, don't have
it. It is the fan.
They have the whole interview
from
yesterday. You are correct,
Eric. It is the fan.
It would be good because we're a radio show. And they're a radio show. And, like, what happened on that radio show would do well on this radio show.
Yes. Be great.
Yeah.
And so. Since our producer's been here since 4 a.m., you'd think he'd have 2 minutes to click on something.
So, anyway, can somebody fill our listeners in with what Randy Moss had to say?
His heart is in New England.
Yeah. If you had to ask him, one of his former teammates with the Vikings, Aaron Henderson,
yes,
was hosting or filling in for the show and – they were talking about, would you possibly come back to Minnesota? And he said, you know, I love it in Minnesota, blah, blah, blah. But if you're asking me where my heart is, where I really want to play, where I'm happy is, it's in New England. I love Tom Brady. I love Coach Belichick.
The grouchy little man.
They called him a grouchy little man that you see on TV.
Isn't
the same off camera.
Right.
Basically expressed his disappointment with the way things unfolded and that he would love to come back here.
But also throughout the Browns and Seahawks as well.
Loved playing with Tommy.
So that brings up the obvious question.
No.
Yes.
Would you want him back?
No.
Wait till Friday.
Yep, debate Friday.
Well, I'll weigh in right now, and I'll say no.
Me too.
I don't 282? I don't want him back either.
And it's, you know, and I like Randy Moss. I like him as what I know of him as a person. Yeah. I like him as a player. But it's too much like walking on eggshells with him. And I just don't want to deal with that. I don't want to deal with that.
See, I like him more as a player than a person.
See, I like him.
I said from what I know of him as a person. You know, he seems
what
like
I know him as a person, I agree with you.
Yeah.
The off field has very little to do with my reasoning. I just don't think he's that guy anymore.
Yeah. It's certainly not worth
I would take him
what
back
you
knowing
might have to deal with.
If I thought he could play at a, you know, 07, 08 kind of level, I would take him back in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
Just for the reasons that Andy wants.
So you weigh it all in and it's not worth it. You know, I think the Patriots.
What's not worth it? Yeah. We get back to the same argument.
It's not worth what he can bring to the team on the field is not worth the risk of what happens if things go wrong.
I think he's right.
What happens if things go wrong?
He could be a disruptive force in the locker room.
So Logan Mankins couldn't? Vince Wilfork couldn't? Gerard Mayo couldn't? Anybody, if things go wrong, could be a disruption.
But they obviously felt strongly enough about his potential to do that to get rid of him
maybe.
Once already.
Maybe. Maybe they went straight Richard Seymour. We're not going to be able to re-sign him. We're going to get a third-round pick for him. Maybe it was a straight deal.
I think that was part of it.
Just a straight deal where we can't get him back. Let's get something in return.
You could be right.
But if
because all we were told was not once in 3.5 years did Bill Belichick have a problem with
him.
Not once.
But if he was doing what he did in 07 and earlier in his career, that they wouldn't do that.
What, averaging a touchdown a game like he was this season when he had 3 touchdowns in 4 games? I know, it's close.
Handy.
I'm just saying.
You're really going to go down with that?
Exactly.
I'm just saying he had 3 touchdowns.
Right.
Right?
And Jarvis Green-Ellis had how many?
And somebody else wouldn't have gotten those
14,
touchdowns?
13?
I don't know.
Yeah, you don't know.
You don't know either.
You don't know.
Maybe this team beats the Jets if they have Randy
Moss.
And
the offense just went off the cliff
when
he left.
They didn't when they had him.
Maybe they beat the Jets.
Okay.
They didn't when they
had
him. Like
the way they did the first time they played him with Randy Moss.
In New York.
Right.
That's different, right?
Okay. Well,
I thought home field has an advantage. I thought that's why they called it home field advantage. Yeah. I'm sorry. I thought that's why they called it home field.
You're being a buffoon.
I'm just saying. So there's no way Randy Moss could help this offense.
Is this what I do when I?
I thought we needed a deep threat. I'm sorry. That's I was under the belief that this offense needed an outside receiver.
Is there a way that Randy Moss could help this offense? Yes, there is.
Yes,
but it's not worth the risk.
What risk? If you sign him to a 1-year deal and just cut him?
Holy crap! Did I just not talk about that?
No, but why can't you just cut him?
It has nothing to do with risk.
You're not signing him to a 4-year, $50 million deal. It's a 1-year, $850,000 contract. Randy, if you really want to come back, here's the contract.
Yeah.
Nothing's guaranteed. You need to play a whole season if you want all this money, and you need to be a good kid. You're right.
I
shipped you out in October 4. I'll do it again.
I don't think you appreciate the influence that he can have on a locker room and younger guys.
I do appreciate that.
And you say, just cut him.
Well, I do appreciate
that. At that point, probably damage has already been done.
Well, it worked last year.
They didn't just cut him last year.
They traded him. They shipped him out of your locker room.
Yeah.
So regardless, your team was without him, and you went on a winning streak.
Yeah, but you can make the argument like Andy just made that, hey, maybe this was just a straight thing where they didn't think they could re-sign him. They wanted to get some value for him.
You could.
So now you have the third-round pick.
If you're trying to be devil's advocate to himself, you could make that argument because that's what Andy's doing.
But if you believe that, now you bring him back because it's on the cheap, and you already got the third-round pick.
Yeah, I'd rather go a different direction in the wide receiver.
I like that, okay. Fred. Coming off your coach's clinic, good coach speak. Yeah. I'd rather go in a different direction.
You've decided to go in a different direction, and you're going to continue in that direction.
I just don't think he's that guy anymore. It's all physical to me.
You know, because if you're going to say, Fred, well, you don't think that the wide receiving core can use help? Of course I do think, but I want to go in a different direction.
That's a fine answer.
Yeah.
Because he would help the receiving core. He's every bit as good as Brandon Tate.
Oh, absolutely.
Tell me he's not. I don't care. He could be in a wheelchair and he'll be as good as Brandon Tate.
He's better than Brandon Tate.
Of course he is.
So he could help your receiving core because Brandon Tate was in that role and played for this team.
Of course he
is. I can't make an argument he's not better than Brandon Tate. I just don't think he's taking any tops off any defenses anymore.
Mm. But he doesn't have to. I'm not arguing that you're getting
– oh,
no, I'm not. I'm arguing that he'd be one of your best 4 or 5 receivers.
Mm. Yeah, he would be.
In the 5 to 10 yard range?
What?
I mean, are you only looking to throw to him in the 5 to 10 yard range?
No, I think he can still get downfield and be a weapon as much as Brandon Tate. Tate may be faster at this point, but you know what? Moss will catch the football.
I agree.
So he's not what he was. I'm not arguing that he was, but I don't have to pay him like he was. It's $850,000 or whatever his veteran minimum is if he truly wants to return home again to play with Brady and Belichick. If he's really just, if that's all he really cares about now. Now, you have to believe that.
That's a big if.
I agree.
That's a big if.
You have to believe that.
Yep.
That's an assessment that a guy
like Bill
Belichick
has to make. I have
to
believe that he'll catch more than 20 passes because he didn't do that last year. So that's why I'm not doing it. I don't think he's that guy anymore.
But would he have caught more than that here?
Maybe. He didn't catch that many here.
5 touchdowns, and he had 3 touchdowns here. Like, the bulk of his production came here.
But would he have 9 catches?
Here?
Yeah.
9 for 140 kind of ring the bell?
But you saw the way.
So he wasn't, like, overly productive here. He did catch 3 touchdowns. You're right.
But there's plenty of receivers that are considered pretty good in this league that catch 40 balls.
40
balls and 8 touchdowns, 9 touchdowns.
I'm factoring in more than that. And, you know, I saw the way he behaved when he went to Minnesota, and I saw the way he behaved when he went to Tennessee. And
what did he do in Tennessee?
Pouted?
Nothing.
Pouted?
He pouted.
I thought Jeff Fisher was telling me he was, you know, a great teammate.
He tried to come out at
now,
first.
Now, Minnesota,
and
I agree,
and then by the end
work.
Of the season, he's like, I'm not sure if we're going to have him back.
Well, but that's a different argument.
But why did he say that, Andy? Come on.
Because there's no value in him to that team.
I know you're trying to beef up your argument for Friday, but
Moss realized when he got to Tennessee. By the time he got to Tennessee, Moss realized what he had done.
Oh yeah,
and was regretting it.
No
question. He said, "You know what? I'm just gonna."
Which is why he did nothing.
Because
he caught a couple touchdowns in Minnesota. Mm-hmm. He was still trying in Minnesota.
Yeah.
Except on that pass interference with the ball, kind of fell behind.
Well, but yeah, for the most part, I know what you're saying.
My whole point is, you're a team that so-called needs an outside receiver, right?
Yep.
He's an outside receiver.
I agree.
Even if he's a shell of himself, he's an outside receiver that is better
than
what
you have. But I could also make the argument that, at least for the time he played in 2010, as that outside receiver, he wasn't effective. I mean, I know he caught three touchdowns, but
I'm more on your side on that, Fred.
He wasn't really doing the things, even as a decoy, that we said, he's always going to be good as a decoy,
yeah,
if nothing
not so
else.
Sure.
I don't even think he did that well.
Yeah, I'm not so sure.
You know? I just think, whether – I don't know if it was Hart wasn't in it or –
Well, he was clearly a troubled soul all of last year.
Yeah.
We saw it from day one against Cincinnati through the year.
And I don't want to deal with that again.
But maybe he's beyond it. Maybe he's beyond it.
Maybe he is. And, again, that's –
Don't we all learn from our mistakes?
But this is the same mistake he keeps repeating over and over again.
No, it was a different mistake.
Maybe he is. It's a big if. Boy, I'd like to have some proof of that, and then I would – I'd take a chance on him, but I doubt
but
that I would get that
prove
proof.
How do you prove that without the opportunity
to
prove it?
That's
you
right.
Let him
you
prove it
you
with
don't.
Seattle
I don't
or
take
Cleveland,
the, chance.
The other two teams that he evidently is interested
right.
in.
I don't want to take the chance.
Colt McCoy.
I think the Patriots should and can upgrade their receiving core without having to bring back Randy Moss.
Now, will you feel the same after the draft if they didn't get a guy in the first three or four picks that you think can be valuable?
Depending on what they do in free agency. I mean, I'll be mad if they open the season with –
The same core that they had last year. And they won't.
They might if they love Taylor Price.
Yeah, my fear, Andy.
I don't think they will.
From a physical standpoint, my fear is that he has become a guy that, yeah, he can still give you that play. But it takes you more and more opportunities to get that now. Like I saw something that Reese wrote about Brandon Tate, off of this kickoff return thing. Does it make his value a lot less if kickoff returns are no longer a big part of the game? That's basically what he was there for last year. He was he was targeted something like 48 times and had like 26 catches. That's what I think you're going to get with Moss nowadays.
Maybe.
You're going to take 8 or 10 shots to him
and
a game, and if you get one or two, you got to hope that he comes through with these huge plays for you, because otherwise he's been rendered somewhat useless.
But there's no chance that he's come to that realization? And that he's more willing
he may have,
to run
what
a couple
is,
slants.
But what is he providing
to run a
for you?
More outs.
Brandon Tate can do that for you, is my point.
I don't think he can.
Yeah, I mean, I understand.
I don't think Brandon Tate, regardless of when I throw him the football, is always going to catch it.
No,
I think Randy Moss,
I don't
if I throw
either.
Him a 10-yard in, is pretty much going
to
catch it.
I said to you that I think that Randy Moss is still, even today, a better receiver than Brandon Tate. I agree with you on that.
I think Moss was humble last year. I think he learned something about himself.
But what I'm saying is, if that's all you're getting from Moss now is the occasional home run, so maybe you won't get the occasional home run from Brandon Tate, but how much more are you getting there?
So you don't think Moss is physically capable of doing anything else?
Than running down the field? No.
Oh, okay. That's where you and I differ.
I don't.
I think he can run other routes. I think he
I don't
can
even
break
remember the last time
it.
He wrote it, ran another route
oh,
other than a
go.
He
ran plenty of outs. No, he ran plenty of outs here on the sidelines.
Last year?
Yes.
I don't remember.
Yes,
I don't remember
did.
Very many.
And
of them.
I think he got humbled, so I think he'd be more willing to do that type
See,
of stuff.
See, up to last year, I was with you because
oh God, the first 3 years,
people
absolutely.
Said, oh, he never goes over the middle. Oh yes, indeed, he does.
He does.
But
he makes the catch and then he drops the ground.
He turtles.
Not 2010. As much.
See, I don't know about across the middle. He ran plenty of outs. He ran plenty of break off
routes. The first 3 years, I'm 1,000%.
No, I'm talking about last
Andy.
Year.
I don't think last year he ran a lot.
I'm talking about last year, and I think he's more willing to run those now. I think he realized I'm not the freak. I think when he went to Minnesota, he literally thought I'm going to put on a show. I am going to show everybody, and I think somewhere along the line he realized I'm not the show anymore.
Yeah.
I'm not the guy I once was.
A better judge of character in psychology. We'll have to make that opinion
right.
than me, because I just wouldn't know where to be able to be confident to make that opinion.
Well, part of it is just man-to-man, is
yeah,
sitting down
exactly.
and talking to him.
Well,
and that's
yeah.
Bill Belichick,
but I think that,
Tom Brady.
I think Randy Moss is a pretty persuasive guy.
Oh, he is.
I think he could charm your
boots
off.
Oh, he is as charismatic as anyone on the planet.
Yeah. I like Randy Moss.
But
yeah,
I think Bill Belichick
even though
has a
I never really
BS
got a chance
meter,
to talk
too.
To him.
Don't you think Bill can shift through the
poop? I think he's pretty big on the BS meter, absolutely.
Like, yeah.
I think Bill's a good judge of character like that.
All I'm saying is I'd consider it.
Okay. 508-543-7482 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Don from California is
fellas.
Hey, Don.
Hey, I just want to say I disagree with everybody except Andy.
Woo! All right, you want to bring Randy Moss back.
Voice of reason.
Yes, I would take Moss back any day, any time, because he got something to prove.
That's right.
But he didn't have anything to prove last year?
But he
was
needs
playing
to
for
prove
a contract.
He can be productive in a different role, that he's just the guy, a humble teammate.
Again, he didn't have that motivation last year?
No, I think last year he thought he was going to Minnesota to take the top off of defense, to score 15 touchdowns
and get one last big
in 10 games or something
ridiculous.
And
that didn't work,
ridiculous.
And he went to another team, and he thought he was going to do that with another team.
No, I don't think
he
thought
he gave up.
No, I think he knew it was over. It was different. And now I think he wants to come back to New England to be a guy, to be a part of a team, to not be the showman anymore.
Wow.
Yeah, I think
you
he
guys
wants
can
to be
have
part
him.
Of a team. And I think he also want to win a championship with Brady and Belichick.
He couldn't
That's
care
true.
Less.
He
That's couldn't care less about winning
when
a championship.
Back this time, he's gonna be
he
right.
only wants to win a championship if he's a big part of it.
See,
I
agree.
Doesn't want to be a bit part on a championship
I
team.
Agree with yeah. Don in the fact that I do think that being part of a team and people that he likes is important to him. And I think when he got to Minnesota, he realized, oh, my God, I screwed up.
Yeah.
You know, the place for me was the Patriots,
mm-hmm.
and that's fine. But I don't think Randy can help himself when he gets into the game and things aren't working out. I just don't.
The
I don't,
old Randy couldn't.
I don't. Well, you're assuming there's a new one.
The new old. Guy. The new guy who's yet to play a game as the new guy. He wants.
Know. No, I think he played a game as the new guy a little. I think he realized he's not the showman. He's not the freak. Yeah, he's not.
I'm not sure he
no,
can help
No, but we've
himself,
yet to
though.
See that guy yet. You're willing to
no,
just blindly
know,
say that that's what he's going to be.
You weren't
going to
see that guy in Tennessee with Rusty Smith.
No. But
you're
going to
see that
is,
guy in New
never,
England with Welker, Branch, Brady.
So now you're going to just blindly say he will be that guy.
Sure.
Okay.
There's
not
nothing
to
lose. There's absolutely zero to lose.
I don't think he'll be valuable as
you
that
sign
guy.
Him,
and B,
and
I don't think he'll accept it.
See, I just go with he's better than Brandon Tate.
You know why, though? Because Randy is getting older. So Randy is going to get wiser, and Randy is going to want a championship. So I think he's going to accept the lesser role and just play his part.
Well, then why the We're rant done. After the Cincinnati game this year?
That
why
was
the
pre-this.
Rant after the Miami game?
No. You have to separate the Randy Mosses that played last year. The guy in New England and ranting after the
All
Bengals
11
game
of them.
Was the guy who thought he was 3 or 4 years at $10 million a year. The show. Mm. The freak. I'm still in the category of Larry Fitzgerald, Andre Johnson.
Yeah.
Somewhere along the line, I think he realized, that ain't me anymore. I missed my boat there.
Yeah. I even have my doubts if he'd accept a veteran
yeah,
contract.
I don't know.
Well, that's fine. And that tells you all you need to know. If you really want to come home again, here's the deal, Randy. You want it or not?
I mean, that'd be great if you're right, Andy, but I just don't know.
People can't change?
Yeah.
If he's can change.
Well,
I mean, Bill Parcells.
I just don't know very many guys
look at
that
Bill
changed
Parcells.
That
he was in a feud
career.
With Bill Belichick. They quickly. Hated each other. They wouldn't reference each other, blah, blah, blah. And then all of a sudden, didn't his friend die or somebody died and he
had
a realization?
But they had a fight. They had a falling out.
Right.
Belichick and...
But they were also two of the more stubborn people on the planet, I would assume.
No, I understand that. But they had you know, some sort of disagreement that led to them not talking.
And by all accounts,
time passed
Parcells
and they got over it.
Came to a realization about life and where he was and his age and his career and his legacy.
But it wasn't because Parcells decided... Well, maybe if I change as a coach, I can talk to Belichick. I don't think that's what it was about. You're asking this guy to,
it's
after,
changing
what, 13
your perspective
years, be a whole
life.
Different player and accept that.
Yeah, I don't think it's that hard. I mean, I think he's already proven the skills to do it.
Well, Don from California, thanks for the call. Greg from the billing department says, I agree 100% with Andy.
2 for 2!
I'm going to tell you right now, I think you're going to be about 95%.
Yeah. The Woo! Comments, I moderated about 80 comments on the
Winning.
Blog. What I put up today.
Right.
You'll
I'd say
be
95% probably
about, on this.
Probably 9 out of 10 people comment.
I heard the radio
That's
yesterday.
That's why they sit in the stands and
because,
Belichick sits in the
Because
in the
2 weeks after
why
the trade.
Why do I sit in the press box?
2 weeks after the trade last year, it was 100% people that didn't want him. And then 2 weeks after the playoff game, it was 100% that's why we lost. I'm not buying it.
Anyway, Greg says, I take him back under those circumstances Andy mentioned. He can still play at least decent. I don't think he'd cause any problems because he now knows what he had here and he won't want to disrupt anything again. He's definitely still a deep threat. And he can stretch the field vertically, which is what the offense was missing after he left last year. I agree that
so
they
he doesn't
can...
agree with you.
Well, I wasn't listening.
He says he's definitely still a deep threat and can stretch the defense.
Oh, I still think he can.
I agree that they can get better through the draft and free agency, but
based
Moss is still a threat.
He never
that
did
will take
it last
the other team's
he
best
never,
corner
he
out of
He was
the
never
game.
Open deep last year.
Oh, I thought I remember the catch of the year when he was behind Darrell Revis in the end zone.
I'm sorry. And the other 111 times that he tried to get deep, Revis he didn't get open. One time he Revis did and made an unbelievable catch.
So
I just and my second thing is
Deion Branch is not a deep threat, right?
Right.
He caught some deep balls when he got open deep.
And I also,
he's not a deep threat.
Over his course of his career here, don't remember all these times when Randy Moss just flat out beat a guy by 5 yards.
Oh, I can tell you a lot of them.
I think half his deep balls he catches.
He did it about five times in the Giants game alone, the last game of the regular season that year, the 16-0 year.
He did it on the touchdown.
But he did it about three other times before, and Brady underthrew him.
See, I remember as many of his catches coming on contested plays as uncontested.
Absolutely, I remember a lot
because
of those,
I actually
too.
Think in this league, very few people just get a 5 yard cushion and you lob it
up
there.
Well, a 5 yard cushion is a little bit of an exaggeration,
but I think I would
be proud of.
I'll say it before. I've said it before, and I'll say it again. He can do what Brandon Tate does. He can do it anytime he wants.
And is that a difference maker?
If you catch the ball, yes.
So he can do what Brandon Tate does. Does that make a difference? You had Brandon
on this
Tate.
Offense. There's a greater value to Randy Moss, and you know that. Teams will look at Randy. I don't care how bad he plays for 2 years.
Yes, I do think
teams
that he's better than Brandon Tate. I agree with you on that. But
there's
is
also
it, is he that much
the
better
status.
That he's going to make a difference. I don't think
don't
he's going to make a
that
difference.
Don't tell me that even after his struggles last year that a safety doesn't say, that's Randy Moss. I know he sucked last year, but that's still Randy Moss.
Maybe,
there's no
listen,
doubt in my mind that exists in players' brains.
I can't tell you for sure that I'm right. We haven't seen it. I don't know what he would do. It's just my opinion that he's not that guy anymore.
Brian, from
your opinion. But no,
he's not a guy that's.
I'm not arguing he's that
guy.
I don't think
he will make the safety do what you
my
just said.
My simple argument
I don't think he did
better than Brandon
year.
Tate, yes or no?
Yes.
That's my only
he's
argument.
Better, yeah, I can't
so
argue
you can add him
so
to your
better than Brandon Tate.
So you get better. If you upgraded a position, it's better, right?
I think Fred's point about all the other
now,
stuff
now, you could argue me that Taylor Price
better,
is better than Brandon Tate,
but all
and
the
you
other,
don't need him.
All the other stuff might not make that a better option than Brandon Tate because he might not be happy, and that might not work.
So you cut him. I don't really understand the worry if you sign him to a $900,000 contract.
I mean, you take cutting him pretty lightly, but
yes,
I mean,
just like they seem to take trading him pretty lightly. They traded him.
You know,
sent him packing.
I'm with Andy on that. I mean, this what is there to be worried about? You cut him. I'm that I get.
Brian in Aspen, Colorado says Randy Moss's catch percentage last season was 44% with a drop percentage of 7.9%. Brandon Tate had a catch percentage of 52.2% and a drop percentage of 10.9%, tied with Hernandez, who had a 70.3 catch percentage. As we all know, Welker had a bad year leading the league and drops at a clip of 10.6% and a catch percentage of 69.9. Go Huskies, the Northeastern Huskies. So
I have no idea what the point was.
I mean, Randy Moss had a
other than go Huskies, which
had a 44% drop percentage.
Big game tomorrow night. You going?
What's that?
No, I was talking to the monkey in the booth.
He dropped 44% of his passes?
Catch percentage
catch
was 44%.
Percentage.
Drop percentage
targets
was 7.9.
Yeah, targets as opposed to catches.
Okay. Tate was 10.9.
So when Brady was forcing the ball to him, that hurts his number.
But I think that's part of it.
I don't think he was forcing the ball to him. I'm sorry. I think he looked at one of those as a punt, first of all. I think one was a bad throw. I've said this all along. Those two interceptions, I think one was a punt and one was a terrible throw.
I would agree with
that. That was a big part of the forcing the ball to Moss.
Yeah, no, I think that's overblown, the whole forcing the thing. But I think that that's part of the pressure that he brings. I think here's where I philosophically
disagree.
He, the
old him.
Okay, I know that you're just automatically saying it's going to be like Bert Campbell in soap. He's going to will himself invisible, and he's going to be a totally different guy. I get that.
Brooklyn
soap
Matt.
Wow. You were the only one that knows what I'm talking about there, Fred. But I just don't think. Here's where I disagree with you philosophically. Not so much about anything that you... I agree with you about you cut him if he's a bad seed and all that stuff. I don't think that he wants to win a championship. I think he wants to be Randy Moss and win a championship. And I don't think he would accept being a bit player regardless of the team's success.
I do.
He wants to be a big part of the reason why they win. He'll take a back seat to Tommy. But I don't think he likes taking a back seat to Wes Welker or Deion Branch. And I think that would be a problem.
That's what you have to figure out, because that's the old Randy.
I know. We already got... I said this is where I disagree with you.
You don't think the standing on the sidelines for a, what would you call it, a poop bum team like the Titans late in the year and just standing there with holding the shoulder pads, you don't think that in some way changed him, altered his feeling, altered his...
Wow.
No.
I mean, think he did. I think he changed.
No.
I think he came to a realization.
And where's the evidence?
I think Randy plays for
there
Randy.
Isn't any.
You
got to take a chance. This is just like a couple gets married, the husband cheats,
just based
they
on
go away,
on
but
you.
The wife brings him back because they have something special and they're willing to, she's willing to kind of give him the benefit of the doubt. You've changed.
This is completely based on faith and hope on your part. Which is all right. That's fine.
Some faith, yes. Yeah.
I mean,
but no risk.
I remember when they brought Randy Moss in the first time from the Raiders. I was like that. I was like, I think he's going to be okay here.
Right.
You know?
And he was for
I was right
a couple
for two
years.
And a half
just three
years
and a half years.
Three and a half years.
Yeah. Not one time.
But we don't know what happened behind the scenes. So anyway.
Oh, I was just taking people at their words that not one time anything bad happened.
Giovanni.
See, I take that at the word, but that whole time, that first 3 years, he was wildly productive.
Right.
I don't think he will be wildly productive from here on in.
And I don't think he thinks he's going to be wildly productive from
here on in. You might
think
he
thinks
he's going to
catch
right, but that's where the whole
35
faith comes
passes
in.
For 6 touchdowns.
And I don't think he'll be very happy.
I think he'll be
you
very
do.
Happy.
You think
he'll
he's
be
the
with
changed
Tommy
man.
And the little grouchy man.
He's a changed man.
Giovanni,
why can't people change? Paul is very close-minded.
Giovanni writes in.
I think people can change. I think that guys like that are wired a little bit differently.
Right, but he got broken, just like a stallion. He was broken last year. That stallion was broken.
You are full of the analogies today,
putting
my
friend. Equestrian references over here
this
now.
Is good stuff. This is good.
Giovanni writes in, won't be long until
I should
the
argue
NFL
the no
becomes
one
a-
tomorrow.
I wasn't looking. Did Fred just give
he
that
did,
look
yeah,
down
he
his
did.
Nose?
Yeah.
Would that be funny, Fred, if I argued no tomorrow on the debate Friday?
Wouldn't be surprising.
We should get Bill O'Brien to argue one of the sides.
I don't think you want to do that.
When someone's talking, you have to shut up.
Giovanni writes, it won't be long until the NFL becomes a two-hand touch league. Anyway, I got a quick either-or game for you guys. One, we heard Randy Moss would love to return to New England. Who's more likely to be in a Patriots uniform the next season, Randy Moss or A.J. Green?
I thought he was going to say Ocho Cinco.
Randy Moss.
I don't think there's any chance.
I'd rather have A.J. Green, and just to clarify the situation, because I think A.J. Green,
you don't
young,
have to worry about him changing.
Could be the Randy Moss young.
Right. Yeah.
Who gets drafted higher, Cam Newton or Blaine Gabbert?
Blaine Gabbert.
Cam Newton.
Say the worst happens, Andy, and we miss out on Quinn.
Do you
draft Jordan or Ayers?
I still like Jordan better.
Jordan, because you don't like Ayers at all.
Yeah, I'd.
At least Jordan is good at what he does.
Whose mock draft was I reading?
Neither is going to make me happy.
No, I didn't, but that wasn't
the
question.
That wasn't the question.
I think it might have been ESPN's latest mock draft. They had Quinn going at 15. So,
well, Kerwin had Quinn going at 18. We pass on him. We pass on Quinn.
That's not good.
You want to see me erupt in that press box and drop an F-bomb?
Oh, boy.
So we got that to look forward to.
Yeah.
Who's dumber?
I'm sorry, I've lost
Mike Felger or Nolan Nowacki?
It's a tie, I think.
Between
who was the first one?
Three-way or
no? Yeah. The two of them:
Brooks Reed, Mike Felger. Or
I'll give the player. I'll give the player the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah, I'm going Felger.
Now, question is
a break.
Too easy.
I'm going with Brooks Reed. No offense to Brooks Reed.
Oh, he's also question
the,
about it.
He's also the only one that could actually be listening right now and would have just laughed. And anybody else that you say that about would have been like, oh, Perillo, you jerk.
But if you'd asked me who'd I'd rather have a beer with, Brooks Reed.
He might have actually answered
the
question
two are
that
douches.
Way, Paul.
Paul from Patriots Football Weekly.
And who's uglier, Marshawn Lynch or he who should not be named?
That's another close call.
I'll go he.
as always, Jets are garbage, Andy's awesome, and Ken Walter rules.
Woo!
Ken Walter.
So, all right.
Giovanni
feels if he emails like the same email 10 times, I'll eventually read it, which in this case,
it
right.
works. But look at the monkey.
Please don't do that.
Another mock draft that came out yesterday, I don't know if you saw, Fred. Todd McShay came out with his two-round mock draft.
Yes.
Did you see it?
No.
We end up with Ryan Kerrigan. That's at 17. Who do we get at? I mean, at 28. Who do we get at 17? Crap. Oh, Watt.
Oh, God.
Kerrigan. And then we got some other people in the second round. Why am I forgetting? But I wouldn't be upset that much with that. I don't love J.J. Watt, but Kerrigan.
Oh, Ryan
I'm
Williams.
Intrigued by. Yes, Ryan Williams was 33.
Yep, and a lineman from like Oklahoma. No,
yeah,
an
was
obscure
a lineman.
Lineman from a school that I can't remember now.
Ryan Williams,
running back, Virginia Tech.
Yeah,
had a great 2 years ago.
Got
down
some
year
injuries.
This year.
Yeah,
a lot of people really
haven't
loved
seen him.
By the way, it seems like there's an absolute crap load of those players in this draft who were great 2 years ago.
2 years ago. It does seem like you mentioned that a lot.
Every time I, for injuries,
you know what it is? It's the trend of Gronkowski. It's the Gronkowski trend. He proved
so
it could happen.
So you're saying we should believe the 2 year ago trend, not the 1 year ago trend?
Yeah.
Because there's a ton of them. By the way, Von Miller going 2 overall in the latest mock I also saw.
Ooh, to who? I mean,
Broncos.
By who?
Somebody.
Okay.
Oh, maybe McShay. I think McShay's latest mock has him 2 overall to Denver, which he's, you know, an intriguing prospect pass rush wise that doesn't look like the Patriots have any chance of getting.
Where did he have Quinn?
Right in
the draft.
12, maybe? 11,
so
12.
In
Houston,
the area,
I believe.
In the area where New England could trade up.
Certainly. Certainly. Yeah, you can get ready for me after we get by the 6th pick or after we get by the 5th pick to start talking. Well, we got to wonder if the Patriots would consider trading up here to get Robert Quinn. I might say that a couple hundred times.
Every pick that comes up thereafter?
I'm going to tell you, though, if they pass on him,
yeah, that's not going to be that's not going to be good.
What the bleep, I'll be saying. Unless they get somebody else that I like.
Yeah, but you don't like anybody as much as him.
Well, if they trade the pick for Mendenhall.
I mean in the draft. And they can't do that because there'll be a lockout probably.
That's true. You're not allowed to trade for unless Sue Dick.
Nelson.
Kevin from the south of Ireland, seeing as how it's St. Patrick's
Day. Can't you stop there?
Did he send this early? Because there's no way in Ireland on St. Patrick's Day they could formulate an email.
No. We have several from
Where's Cormac,
by the way? I'll try to get to some more of our Irish fans today.
And
but,
plus, they're ahead of us, so they had like the six-hour head start of drunkenness.
Head start.
He says, love the show. Just want to say how I used to laugh at the debates Fred and Andy would have on the All Access TV show, how Andy used to crush poor Fred because he talks way too fast for Fred to even register what's going on.
Andy's a tough guy to do a
hilarious,
point
still, though,
with.
Fred should have won more. Well, you know, basically, I'm arguing as two idiots on that show. I got Andy and then Fourier, who
that's accurate
doesn't know how to form an opinion unless Matt Smith tells him.
Absolutely.
Wow.
With you.
Wow.
Fred, once again.
I'm only kidding, Christian.
I'm not.
Bit of a sore loser, Fred Kirsch is. Bit of a sore loser.
One question. Do you think Belichick would take a QB with one of the first three picks if all were still available, i.e. Aaron Rodgers-like situation where they could maybe get 3 or 4 years behind Brady to learn which is the best quarterback in the draft? And keep up the good work, Eric. You're a legend. That says Kevin from Ireland.
You're a drunk.
So if somebody falls on their lap at 33.
So Blaine Gabbert, is he saying
all the quarterbacks are available?
Yeah.
Oh, I would take Cam Newton at 33. If I've already drafted two players and I have the potential to get the greatest player in the history of the world, even though Gabbert's the better quarterback.
Do you really think that Cam Newton's going to have that much potential?
Potential.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's going to reach it.
His upside is pretty high.
I have no faith in his potential.
But you don't need a quarterback. So you have 4 years to see if he can reach his potential, and it's your third pick of the draft. You already got Quinn and somebody else.
I would take the guy who's more reliable at this point, and that would be Gabbert.
Yeah, it's a free pick. People don't.
I think Gabbert's strictly a West Coast offense guy, to be honest with you. I think he's very limited.
Well, I'm not sure he's limited, and I think he's the best quarterback right now. If I needed a quarterback, if you said draft a quarterback,
if I needed a guy
to play
in 2011, he would be my
Gabbert.
Pick. But I think in Andy's point about the
4 years.
Yeah, Andy's point about the upside to me is I don't know how.
But
you
wouldn't really know if he reached his potential at that point because you would assume that Brady's going to be taking all those snaps.
No, but they'll know. They knew Matt Castle was better than the day he walked in,
and they knew Rohan Davey wasn't
right. And they knew Kevin O'Connell wasn't. You know, they see the writing on the wall in both directions. You don't have to pay him a ton of money. And you could probably bamboozle somebody. Even if you decide he's not that good, you can probably ship him off for a fifth-round pick at some point.
Oh, you know.
Talk him up as, oh, he's been great in our practices.
You know what Belichick does?
In the preseason, you know he'll run around and look good. Fans will love him.
Belichick will decide, he'll find ways to get him on the field. Like, let's just say the third year, they've decided, you know what? I don't think it's working.
Right.
He'll get ways to get him on the field and use his athleticism. We're just looking for ways to get this guy in there.
Right.
Now, obviously, Tommy still playing at a high level, you know, but we're trying to get in someone. Jerry Angelo will call and give him like 8 first-round picks for him because that's what he does.
Gabe writes in, hey, guys, although Fred was missed, I thought Tuesday's show was really, really good. The guys touched on some very interesting topics, and what they said about the younger fans being so important to the NFL was right on the money. Andy and Paul made such great points about this CBA crap.
Eric was here,
anyway,
too.
Anyway, I know everyone is talking about...
Eric took your role.
Did he?
He read the
very
emails.
Very well. And, he He steered the ship very well. Okay, good. On Tuesday.
Anyway, I know everyone is talking about Brooks Reed, but what about his teammate Rookie Elmore? I think he could be a great third or fourth round guy.
I'm intrigued by him.
Good luck on the show, and I wrote to the front office for you guys. If you guys left, I would drink myself to death with Miller Lite. Paul could join me.
Did you buy that lunch you owe us yet, Gabe, for the little girlfriend fiasco?
Just I don't think he. I don't think he did.
I don't know.
We'll have to ask the
monkey,
the zoologists in there.
Brian is in from Rothesay, New Brunswick.
They're putting their bald heads
together. He says,
together.
listening to Tuesday's show, Andy and Paul had a great discussion about a lockout losing a generation of fans. As a teenage Canadian during the NHL.
Did you not take part in that conversation? Seriously?
I did, but I think they're just trying to get my goat, and it's
as
not working.
As a teenage Canadian during the NHL's lost
that,
season
that
a few years
throbbing.
Ago, I lost a lot of interest in the sport and have never even come close to returning. So hopefully smarter heads can come together and solve this. Also, Eric is a douche. So I guess he was just trying to get to
good,
Eric.
Good call, Eric.
So, a lot of emails.
A lot of emails. Send them three times and you'll get
Tuesday
read.
was an interesting show.
We bounced all around.
For really not having anything of substance to talk about, because even the lockout at this point, it's not a good talk radio topic. It's kind of boring.
Yeah, because there aren't a lot of developments.
We don't know anything.
And we don't know. We know that they just decertified, and we know that the owners responded by locking them out. We don't know what that means. We don't know what it's going to mean until probably April 6th.
Did we discuss that
whatever.
At all? I don't think we did, because it happened a week ago. The
what?
Twitter, the final hours last week. When
no, we stayed away.
This thing is reporting that they've decertified, but they haven't. The tweets were coming out like every minute with somebody either trumpeting someone else's report or refuting it, or it hasn't happened yet. It could happen.
Yeah.
It was like all over the place for that last.
So you're telling me the media once again covered itself in glory?
Not exactly. And the NFL Network was reporting they have done it. It's been filed. This has been done, and then maybe it hasn't quite been done yet, but the plan is.
I also
still
liked
to.
One of the NFL Live guys, maybe Trey Wingo. Tweeted out, giving props to Rich Eisen in the NFL Network.
It's Paul on TV.
That's just unbelievable.
George Martel.
That's even worse that you actually say who it was.
Only people in our area will know the commercial for Woobin Foreign Motors.
People are going to tell, but now
who
people will see
ours.
That at some point and say, wow, that's
and
what
a
Paul
friend
looks
of
like?
The show. He likes PFW a lot.
Oh, if you need a Toyota or Jaguar, go to George Martel.
I don't think he's on the Jaguars anymore.
Oh, he doesn't do Jaguars anymore?
He does.
I thought he wasn't.
No, he, well...
Paul
he,
just bought
still
one
sells
last week.
Them.
I know he does Toyota.
Yes, still Toyota. A good floor.
Good. Mix. Good cover, Paul.
Andy, you drive a Toyota?
No. Honda.
I could see you driving like a Toyota Tacoma.
I looked at him when I was looking at my
drives
truck.
A Ridgeliner.
Not a Ridgeliner, Ridgeline. And I'll have to look for a new one. Apparently, they're getting rid of it. They're going to discontinue production.
What year was it?
2007.
Oh, so it's still got life left in it then.
Yeah, but I put on 30 plus a year. So
I do a lot of hauling.
You put on 30,000 miles a year?
It's a man truck.
Oh, with your commute.
I got my car in February.
Oh, with your commute, he says.
Well, no, because
February of 08, I got my car.
Well, no,
82,000 miles.
Lives in Dartmouth.
I know, I just remembered that.
He has no idea where that is. He thinks at $250 a day, Bedford. A week's worth of Pike tolls will cost you $10.
Whatever, around $10.
He got a 2 on the Wonderlic.
2.5.
Quarterbacks did reasonably well, by the way. Did you see that report that Florio had? All the quarterbacks
did
pretty
well. Well, they say they really prepare so well for that.
You
now.
Shouldn't fail that.
Yeah.
Well, I agree.
And I don't mean fail. I mean, you should not.
Get below
you should
a
be
20.
Respectable on that. Roll out of bed, be respectable.
Let's see. Lucas says, I would welcome Moss back, but I'm not objective because he is my favorite player of all time. Just one nugget you didn't look at. I think at least he would be the best wide receiver in the red zone. Big target with great hands.
No, that's
Gronkowski. We already have
one
of those.
Well, he said wide receiver.
We have
wide
pass
receiver,
catcher.
Receiver, pass catcher, right.
It is Gronkowski.
Gronkowski's the man in the red zone.
He's unstoppable.
I don't care who catches it, as long as someone does.
Tracy in Vegas says, Fred, welcome back.
Hey, girl.
You were missed.
Tate's out.
Put me down in the pro Andy column. I will give Moss another chance.
Tracy, I'm hearing things about you
on the
internet,
by the way. He had 3 touchdowns last year, too, by the way.
Tracy.
Moss had 5. I heard you.
No, I'm talking about with the Patriots.
Moss had 3.
In 4 games, not a full season like Tate.
Same amount of opportunities.
No, I don't think so.
Close.
I don't think so.
Close.
Negative. Can I get back to Tracy for a minute? And the reports that she is in...
His girl Megyn Kelly's on TV right now.
She's not even the hottest on that show anymore.
Why does he get so mad?
Carolyn Barbados or whatever it is.
What? He got pretty defensive about that.
Because no one
quick.
Backs Andy yeah. into a corner.
Hey, I did some serious plumbing last night. I did my own plumbing. I had to replace
laid some pipe.
Cleaning the pipes.
Lay some pipe.
I had to cleaning the pipes.
I had to replace a pipe underneath my bathroom sink, and I was able to do it.
So you did lay some
and
pipe.
And it worked.
PVC or copper?
PVC.
He looked like a deer in headlights when I first asked that question. Oh, my God, they're going to ask details? I was just making this crap up.
It was actually one of those cardboard tubes that comes at the end of a roll of paper towel.
Got it done.
Was it a leak?
Yeah.
So it's leaking
220,
again.
221, whatever it takes.
Now, you know where where you pull up the plunger and it goes, there's a bar that goes with a little ball at the end and it goes into there? Well, what it screws into cracked, so it was leaking. So I had to replace that whole piece.
I was proud of you.
I was able to do it.
Hope
you didn't even have to use
afterwards.
Like the infomercial putty to just block up the hole.
I used plumber's putty though when I, you know.
Don't you have to like put blue on and purple and join them together?
That's when you're actually gluing them together.
Yeah.
This had screws.
Oh, just screwed on? Oh, with like a. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Louis from Illinois. I was the guy that had the four short points.
Did you have pants on when you did this?
No.
You didn't?
I had to take the pants off. I was in my boxers.
Because I'm really trying to just envision this now. Fred under the sink, like working.
Okay. Did you have a tool belt
on?
Why did you have to take the pants off?
Too
constrictive?
Yeah, too constrictive.
You know that's because you wear pants.
Plus, you don't want to rip them.
Did you almost snarf?
Plumber's crack out?
No, but I knew that one was coming. That's
why. I don't have plumber's crack.
What?
You know, I don't
Everybody
wear my
can
pants
have
low like
crack.
That.
Your pants are pretty low. I know you try to pull them up above the gut, but
pants
they
on the ground.
Below it.
Yeah.
When he comes into the game, pulls him up.
Aren't you glad you're back?
That's good. Louis.
Oh, he would much rather do this than sit in that room upstairs for 12 hours
that
a day talking about
nodding off.
That web.
That was tough.
We saw you almost nodding off in the meeting.
Oh, I had to open up the window at one point.
He was like,
you farted?
In the suite?
Oh, no, the other one. In the conference room.
Oh, that was, we were talking about something else in there.
Yeah.
He was like in a fishbowl, would all walk by on the outside, poking and knocking on the window.
People don't understand this, right? When you get into a room with a lot of human beings, we're sucking in oxygen and we're
expending a lot of hot air.
And we're exhaling carbon dioxide. It's not good air that you're breathing.
Right.
Well, there's supposed to be like a circulation
system. Yeah, but
right?
You know how it is.
Right. And like, what's the difference?
Whoa.
What's the difference between that and this?
Well, not much.
That's why he runs out of gas late in the show.
But I think
oxygen
we all enjoy this. I don't think we nod off in this show because we usually have fun.
Louis from Illinois says, I was the guy that had the four short points. I wanted to thank you for reading my email and answering my questions. It's the first time I have ever been on air or anything like it. I wanted to know if us as fans could do anything to speed up the CBA process, like boycotting the NFL. We could say, unless you work out a deal before the draft, we will not attend or watch any football when it resumes. Do you think this measure as fans would put enough pressure on them to get a deal done, or would it be dumb?
Depends on how many people you got behind you.
I think it'd be dumb.
It's not dumb. It's just unrealistic.
Yeah, it's just saying it's not going
to
work.
Yeah, I mean, you could try to do, one of those online, like Twitter, Facebook kind of efforts, but
there's no way you're going to be able to convince enough people to make a difference, to make a dent. What's going to end up happening is people are going to use it as an opportunity to get in. That's what's happening right now is people
on the
waiting list,
as
upset as people are, they're looking at it as like, wow, I've been on the waiting list since 2000, and they called me. This is my chance to get in.
It's like the last time the gas prices were high, and you get those emails.
Yesterday.
Those emails that are forwarded to you saying, oh, if you only refuse to buy gas for one day a week, it'll drop the price. Nobody does it.
They'll just raise the price some other time on us. That's another thing.
I
gas price.
I understand.
Screwed.
Although it's already worked because it went down, I think, 2 cents where I bought it.
Yeah.
And I was like, ooh.
Yeah,
like
right.
I was happy that it hadn't gone up. It actually went down 2 cents.
You know what I did? You know how they have those deals with the supermarket? Like Stop and Shop has those bonus points?
Yeah, mine just ended it.
I got 30 cents off a gallon last week. Who'd have thought I hit the lottery?
Yes, those are tremendous.
My supermarket just ended their relationship with that because they're in the process of being sold, and they don't know if the new owner's going to want it.
Chain
so I'm like, we'll keep it until you...
Change supermarket.
Well, I do have a couple of supermarkets that I go to, but the one that has the gas deal...
Are they small bodegas or you go to...
No. You know where he goes.
Whole Foods or one of those.
It's a bodega.
Bodega.
But he goes to Whole Foods.
Bodega.
Right? You go to Whole Foods, right? A Wild
That's
Harvest.
One of them. Yeah. Whole Foods.
Oh, yeah. You're not. No, you really go to Whole Foods?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
No question.
For the fruits and vegetables. I get the other stuff at Shaw's.
Those are just the customers.
Why not pay three times more than you have to?
The fruits and vegetables.
I opened my head. He squeaked that
not
one right
the first
by
time,
me.
Paul.
Even my wife goes to Whole Foods for certain things. You know, and,
fruits
even,
and vegetables.
But even she says, you know, aren't I you an feel employee like of all the job? People in there are like, look at me. I'm doing the right thing. You know, I'm look at me. Yeah. You know,
I'm green.
No one's in there saying, oh, look at me.
Going
in
there
to get the vegetables.
They have the attitude.
One at a time, please.
There's a big tree right in the middle of the store that you have to hug when you go in there, please.
It's at the front of the store, not in the middle, Paul.
And it's expensive.
But it's worth it.
It's very expensive.
The fruit there is worth it.
The fruit is good.
Yes.
But it's not that much better than regular supermarket.
Oh, I disagree.
You pay three times as much.
I disagree. That's why I go there.
I'm not arguing with you. It's good. I think it's
better.
Still overpriced.
You're like Kramer. You got to get the certain
the Mackinac
peaches. The Mackinac peaches, Jerry.
Getting Andy doesn't get it.
No, he doesn't.
He refuses to watch Seinfeld.
Andy, dead stare.
Larry writes in, if you have some extra time on your hands and want some laughs, replay the old draft shows. They are about their best shows of the year ever. Paul's rants on Fred, Eric, what about me, and the head emotion, can't miss, and the Three Stooges, why did we not take him? We can't leave Fred out. Just wait. The Pats know something no one else knows. Great fun. I tell my wife not to try to make plans for those nights. Go Pats.
Oh, yeah.
And P.S. for anyone who would like to hear old draft shows in archive. All these.
What?
Who is that, Larry?
Dates and
is that Larry that says
numbers? Larry.
The guy who called in the show the other day?
That's good stuff.
Are those on our site?
Yeah.
Larry's right. Those are some of our better efforts.
Well, and there are also things that you can really easily measure what happened afterwards now with what you know.
I'll bet we've said more stupid things on those draft shows than any other shows combined.
Oh, I don't know about that. We say a lot of stupid stuff.
Yeah, but I think we're in particular rare form on draft days.
Well,
Fred's best,
a lot of radio
Fred's
there.
Best moment, I think, came with Vollmer when the next day he's, you know, I'm coming around on that Vollmer pick.
Yeah. Listen, I can. This
That's
is
not fair.
Fill in the blank for pick. Fred, I don't really get that. 3 hours later, I see what they did there.
I did some investigative reporting.
Exactly. And every single time, that's the way it goes. You never like the picks when they make them, and then you love them 2 hours later.
I never say that.
You love them 2 hours later.
A lot of times.
I played cornerback his whole life.
I can remember at least 1 year saying, I need to go home
and
think about this first round.
Exactly.
And answer my cell phone.
And I need to figure it out.
Take a few calls.
Before I jump off the cliff, and then I figure it out.
See, we don't need that. We're organic. Love Gronkowski.
Right. And when you
I loved him because I loved him.
And when you go
That's
organic.
Why I go to Whole Foods. I'm organic.
There are times when you say stupid things, like when they drafted Richard Seymour and I wanted to resign.
I resign.
Sometimes you
Chad
miss.
Jackson. Pro Bowl before his rookie deal ends.
Exactly. Sometimes you miss.
I could still be right. I don't think that contract's actually played out yet. So.
And you don't know if he bought a ticket to the Pro Bowl.
That's right.
Not,
he may have
If you
last
get
year.
Released, doesn't that terminate your contract?
Right. It tolls
isn't that the
contract.
End?
Right.
So you're in. So it's over. You lose.
Fred in Halifax, well, I'm 3 days into my NFL boycott, and so far, so good. I was somewhat, I guess he's not boycotting this show.
No, yeah, he wrote it the other day. He led a charge that he wants people to boycott all NFL-related material except this show and the paper.
He's staying loyal to PFW.
All you're boycotting is the NFL Network, then, because there's nothing else going
on. No, he's boycotting, like, ESPN and
anything NFL-related except for PFW.
Yes.
And PFW in progress.
And he got there was a little bit of
Fred
a groundswell after
that. We have
that.
A guy who's so upset that he's boycotting the league except for us. And
he's coming to us for all his information about
the
lockout
and
the league.
You haven't lost out on anything yet. I mean, every one of these things get ugly like this has gotten ugly.
So far, yeah.
I think we should expect this. If we start missing out on camps and training camp, okay, now I'm pissed off.
You've lost out on free
agency. But you missed out on free agency.
And you've lost out
on free agency.
See, I have a totally different look. You tell me that there's going to be games, but we don't have to worry about training camp? Double
yeah, Paul's
up.
Like, yeah.
No, well, that's us.
As a fan.
As a fan. That's what I'm saying. Is there anything worse than that 6 weeks that you have to wait before a game gets played?
Part of the lockout involves Paul not going to games.
No.
Oh, yes.
No,
he's been fighting for that for years.
As a see, that's where I differed, and Fred always yells at me. When I was a fan, he always says that I was never a fan.
Can we play the games at Wednesday.
There
at
was
one?
There was nothing worse to me than like the preseason games. Like people get all jacked up. First preseason game. All I cared about was opening day. I wanted the season to get there. Mm. Games, mm-hmm. real games, mm-hmm. and then the playoffs. Mm-hmm. That's what to me was worth getting juiced for a fan. Mm-hmm. Fred, you know, well, for a fan, you know, training camp. Yeah. It's great.
Well, for some fans.
Come to Patriot Place.
Some fans love training camp.
I know. But I
because
I
it's their one and only chance to actually see
but
the players.
See, but
in
that's
person
a that's a different
get
argument.
An autograph.
To me. When you know, in a couple of years when Will and TJ are a little bit older, I can't wait to take them to training camp. That I think is the best deal in sports.
But wouldn't you say that one
to
of
be
the,
that close to the players and to have that kind of access, that's phenomenal.
One of the best times of the year for our content on PFW
is
training camp.
But again,
we kick ass.
Yeah, but that's another different argument. That's something
he's
that's
saying
totally,
when he was a fan.
Yeah.
He's not a fan anymore.
Yeah, but if I'm a fan, I'm missing out on all that great content.
Oh, well.
Is it really great content?
Yeah, it's
Brian Hoyer hit the barrel in the third try in the afternoon session.
Well,
who gives a fly-in?
You can always find out the time of day that the geese flew overhead.
They flew under us the other day when we were up in the club. They were actually lower than us.
That's a good point.
Anyway, Fred continues, I was somewhat taken aback when I turned on the show Tuesday and Fred is nowhere to be found. I thought, okay, this lockout is now starting to inconvenience me. If I can't hear Fred doing his best Archie Bunker and mispronouncing every name he comes across or hearing the heartbreaking tales of his broken mailbox, what is the point of getting out of bed in the morning? I have a question for you guys. Assuming that Bill goes off the reservation when he makes his high picks like he always does, where do you think he will go? I think the wild card position they may go after with one of the top picks is safety. I think he likes Chung, but might think he has just serviceable people behind him. I think this position could be the McCourty pick this year, where it does not make sense at first until you find out Bill is right. If Bill goes off the chart with one of the top three picks, what do you think he might do?
Not safety.
Yeah, because there aren't that many great safeties.
I think offensive line, if you think that's going off the reservation.
Well, that's a need.
That's very much on
the
reservation.
My question is what would be off the chart? Now, safeties would absolutely
quarterback.
Be off the chart.
Tight end would be way off the chart.
Kicker.
Quarterback, tight end, safety, kicker, punter, long snapper.
Anything else? Because so far I don't think there's a chance they go off the chart based on the – I mean, D-line –
no,
outside
all the
linebacker,
other ones are
offensive line, needs. Wide receiver,
yeah.
Running back.
Yeah, gunner.
Would not be stunned for any of those early.
They've done
in the
it
draft.
Before in the fifth round.
And the other thing about the safeties, I disagree with his assessment of the safety position. I think it's a pretty deep one for the Patriots. But also, we talked about this on our podcast yesterday, Andy and Eric and I. Safeties, there's really not a ton that are very highly – there's only one really second-round candidate.
There's not going to be one in the first 33 picks, never mind by the Patriots.
Yeah.
Now, that doesn't mean that Belichick wouldn't say, well, I have one.
In our system and all that.
You know,
right.
On my board, I have one that's higher, mm-hmm. But I'd be very surprised. A position that doesn't really seem to be a need, and B, a player who may be a reach at that spot.
Right. That's
McCourty was picked exactly where he was projected to go. We just didn't
just
think they would take a cornerback.
But Belichick
so now you're asking someone to take a position that you don't really need in a player that's a,
even
you know,
if there's a safety
20 spots
he wants,
behind that in value.
He knows he can get him elsewhere because everybody thinks the safeties suck. So he can draft him in the second, late second, early third, still get the guy that he may think is a first-round pick, but everybody else thinks sucks.
And again, we're really right about these things. So.
Oh, hell no.
No,
we're very much right.
I'm joking about the thing that we just talked about with Larry.
James has a would you rather game for us.
Would you rather?
Brooklyn Decker.
Would you rather trade
Andy's
Will
answer
Fork
is
to
always Brooklyn Decker.
Would you rather trade Will Fork to Oakland in place of Seymour or keep Will Fork and trade Seymour? You'd still get Oakland's first round pick either way.
I'd still trade Seymour.
I would trade Seymour, but
Will Fork is more of a rare commodity.
That's a good question. That's tough. I would probably do what they did, but
yeah.
I don't think it's a no-brainer.
It goes definitely.
Certainly not a no-brainer.
3-4.
Yeah, that's like 2 years difference.
Would you rather?
3-4? What does that mean?
Well, you need that nose
need
tackle
nose.
In a 3-4. Oh, it's harder to find.
But you just said 3-4.
But yet they keep moving them out of nose tackle.
That's a good point, too.
Out of necessity.
Yeah, but if you traded him, you'd
right. And you wouldn't have that necessity if you held on to Seymour.
Injuries. James
again,
also
you
says,
wouldn't have the injuries.
Would you rather have
Seymour.
Belichick?
Would you rather have Moss for the next 3 years or Ocho Cinco for the next 3 years?
Ocho Cinco.
Ocho.
I don't think Moss could play 3 years.
No.
Yeah. Would you rather have Deion Branch for his entire NFL career or Wes Welker for his entire NFL career?
Deion Branch.
That's
a tough one.
I'm not really all that upset that I didn't have either one of them for their entire careers, but Branch.
That's a tough one.
Welker.
Yeah, I'll go Welker, too.
Would you rather win a Super Bowl in the new Meadowlands or Lucas Oil Stadium?
Couldn't care less, as long as you're winning a Super Bowl.
I'm going to go with Lucas Oil Stadium because that's indoors, and I really don't want any part of being in the Meadowlands of 2014.
But I get the
point. I know what his
point. Let's not pretend you'll
the home
be
of
outside.
The Jets or the home
I know
of the Colts.
I will actually be sitting in the stands if there's a Super Bowl in the Meadowlands.
Literally.
You're a very bitter
little
man.
I think the idea of winning it in Polian's house appeals to me.
Yeah, I know what the
more than
is.
Winning it in
because
Jets
I just
house?
Know his reaction.
Oh, wait, it's
I
not
think,
the Jets house.
I think it would be New York if you were going to go just that pure.
Yeah.
You know,
New
York-Boston vengeance.
Rivalry kind
yeah.
of thing.
New York-Boston. I'll take New York.
That's another. It would be good to be the first team to win a Super Bowl in their house.
Whose house?
The Jets.
You wouldn't play the Jets.
No. But the fact that the Patriots.
Nothing gets by you, Andy.
They have the Super Bowl, and the Patriots are the ones that won the Super Bowl in their stadium.
Well, you'd have the same with the Colts.
That
was
I know.
Like a, that's
that
was, the that
was idea
like a Lou Maloney statement.
That's the
right
idea.
There. Which, there's no way they're playing. The,
which,
no way.
Which team do you want to tweak more, the Colts or the Jets?
So you win both of them. You win the 2012 and
right.
then the 2014.
That would be
then
nice.
You take care of both.
But you said they were never winning a Super Bowl again.
No, I'm saying in his scenario, that's how you take care of that.
The window's shut.
And James, finally, Brooklyn Decker or Pamela Anderson circa 1994?
Brooklyn Decker.
Really?
Yeah.
Circa 94, you would have... I, that's tough.
Isn't that like Hep C time?
She was...
she had like hepatitis.
Well, forget about the diseases.
Well, that's part of it.
How can you forget about it?
She's a skank.
I mean,
yeah.
Brooklyn Decker's not a skank, to my knowledge.
Yeah, she may be, but not that I know.
To your knowledge.
I'd like to know.
Find out.
Brooklyn Decker. Brooklyn Decker.
I'll tell you, though, when Pam Anderson at her height.
Oh, smoke
yeah.
show.
Yeah.
Absolute oh smoke show.
Before
oh
all the tattoos and bruises.
Oh, yeah.
When she was on
diseases.
Home Improvement.
Bruises.
She always had bruises.
Early Baywatch.
But that was right around the
Home Improvement
and Baywatch. Oh, my God.
And those little floppy disks I would put in my computer.
They weren't floppy for long.
It's true.
They turned into hard disks.
Hard drives.
Thank you.
No, I really remember that. Like those, I was probably like a sophomore in high school.
That's disks.
Like those regular little 3.5-inch disks.
Yeah.
And what did you do
with
those?
This one's got Pamela Anderson nude on it. And that was like my first porn.
Wow. That's how you do. Wow. Unbelievable generation gap there.
Sam in Chicago
and
says.
Then you go back. They didn't open. What happened? Like the next day at school and stuff.
That's hilarious.
Sam
How did you never tell that story before?
I don't know, but I remember it. I probably still have the disc.
You probably
somewhere.
Forgot it. That's why.
Sam in Chicago says, I say bring Moss back and then trade him for another pick.
I don't think that's going to happen.
That's a plan.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen.
Let's see. James V in the UK writes a lot of Jameses. To all men of PFW.
And Eric.
I must say.
Did
I,
it really say
no,
that?
No, he didn't say it, Eric. You did. See?
Yeah, well, it's okay.
It's not gonna work. You did.
Same.
Yeah,
I must say I'll be following the boycott of other media sources during the lockout. I enjoy your in-depth football talk as well as your random banter about Star Wars, the Bible, Brooklyn Decker's breasts. However, the other reason I'll be boycotting is that NFL.com proved to me that it has less values than Brandon Merriweather when yesterday it had an article entitled, Is Adrian Peterson Next to Date a Kardashian? I mean, unless... they are actually going to do it in the center of the field on game day. No NFL fan cares who any NFL player is shagging. Not sure whether you can say that.
Shagging.
Did.
Yeah.
Yeah,
we use all kinds of British terms in the show.
If that happens and it is the hot one, then by all means, I'm sure all of PFW crew will download that video. Until that point, NFL.com has no need to ask that question.
Well, Fred will only download it if Peterson is front and center.
Paul and I will look
with
at
an emphasis on Peterson.
Right.
Oh, sorry. Peterson.
What? Peterson who?
Also heard Randy Moss once back. Normally,
which
I would say
it?
Not interested. However, with the lockout and if Belichick thinks he'll be humble, both in terms of attitude and money, I think there is value in having another guy who knows the system, which is difficult to learn for some new players, either draft picks or free agents, if
Galloway.
And when it resumes.
Price.
Also, can someone explain to me what happens to the draft picks after the draft?
Nothing.
Are they signed and receive no money or
no.
unable to be signed? I'm not sure.
No sign.
Yep, they go into limbo.
NFL Network also had something last weekend that somebody sent me. You know, glad to see NFL.com is up to speed. Not NFL Network, NFL.com. Where they had, you know, the lead plaintiffs listed.
Oh, San Diego's Drew Brees?
Yeah, San Diego Charger quarterback Drew Brees. I mean, really? What's it been? 6 years?
In the opening sentence.
That's unbelievable to me.
And it wasn't taken right from the lawsuit, was it? It wasn't screwed up.
I suppose there's always a chance that someone did that,
no,
too. But
no, because it was written, it was like an
edit. It was like an abstract on the website. And it was like
the
little,
first sentence, though. The
so very
first sentence.
Monkey.
But that got through the editing process.
Totic.
I did learn. Saw him at the combine. I did learn something yesterday in the, we didn't touch on one last rule subject where they're going to, there's a more greater likelihood for suspensions this year for illegal hits, helmet-to-helmet hits, for repeat offenders. They only go back 2 years for repeat offenders. Your record is basically washed clean.
It's expunged after that?
So I found that interesting because I don't really understand it. To me, that's a very short period of time.
And why
Do you think that Joey...
Because they told them. Their whole thing is they're big on can't punish or can't do anything without letting them know what it is. You know, the whole thing last year is now they fully know suspensions are part of the process. Right. So you can give them.
Okay.
Well, they've also told the players, when we say we look at your past history, it's 2 years. I don't get that. To me, if you played in the NFL, if you're a 12-year veteran, you have 12 years of past history.
Mm.
I mean, even credit records
go back
7 years.
Do you think James Harrison would have been
right? IRS tells you to hold like 7 years of
five, at least five, three to five.
2 years. I nearly kill a guy on the field, but it was 3 years ago, so now I'm clean.
On this,
Fred was giggling to himself over there. By the way,
with these new rules, you think James Harrison would even have been able to play a game last year?
Yeah, no, he's in trouble.
Yeah,
you know, he would have gotten suspended on the initial hit, and then his history would have just kept repeating itself.
Yeah. But then once he's suspended for 2 years, the record is wiped clean.
Right. So he takes 2 years off, comes back.
He's like a minor.
Heard of Joe Schmidt. I never heard of some of these top 100 players. Joe Schmidt.
Joe Schmidt's the guy that Borges was yelling at us about, I think, that day. Remember?
The pile jumper?
Oh, yeah.
Who just dove
I
on
think
piles?
You're right, Paul.
Apparently he picked up passes and returned them for a touchdown, too.
I don't think he was making fun of him. I think he was making fun of someone else. At peanut.
Somebody was a pile jumper.
Randy Gradishar, I think.
I believe they forget it.
Yeah. He said that about
it was
him.
The so-and-so of his day, but I won't say the so-and-so part.
Terry from New Haven, Connecticut has drawn a very funny cartoon of all of us, and obviously I can't show it, but maybe he can send it to James at PFW in Progress, and James can post it, but it's very funny.
Very funny.
Very funny.
He depicts us all very differently, but Eric is particularly funny.
Oh, boy.
His head is shaped like a light bulb with a crown on it.
Let me see.
No, we'll look at it after. But anyway, he says, I've been a Pats fan since the start of 1995 and a loyal listener of the show since the 04 playoff run. Nothing like jumping on a pool of ice. I rarely write in except for curse words.
You learned it by watching you.
I rarely write in except for curse words, but after listening to the podcast of last Thursday's show, my thoughts wandered as to what a PFW cartoon would look like. I'm really not a big comic guy and have no formal artistic training. But I took a shot and drew this up over my lunch break yesterday. Please let me know your thoughts. I can ask James to post it in the fan art section on his site if you think it's any good.
There's a fan art section?
How many sections are
on
this site?
You know, if James is listening, I hope he is, but he can post that. I think it's funny. It's very raw, but it's funny.
Raw.
You know,
you can tell who's
no
who?
It's, yeah, well, he,
I mean, he labels them probably.
He labels it at front. This is who's who. And then he
could
goes,
you tell who was who if he didn't?
Yes.
Will listeners who haven't or may not have seen us or
well, you're gonna see, he labels it in front, so you'll know.
But I mean, is it it's based on all our caricature types?
Yeah. Eric's wearing a crown because he's pompous.
Oh, I thought it was because
he was a princess.
No, I don't think so. I think
stopped.
What is Eric wearing?
I did.
I mean, what is Paul wearing? A Miller Lite hat?
Fat suit?
Yeah, he's like a big round thing with a face.
That's fine.
What are you?
Fine. Andy, why don't you repeat what you said last week? You should be a lot fatter than you are.
I'm depicted as an 8-year-old.
Well, that's also
an
accurate.
8-year-old.
You have a diaper
on? How do
you
know that it's 8 years old? Do you
he
have
says,
like one
he says, Fred is an 8-year-old.
I thought you had like one of those caps with the propellers on top.
No.
You know?
Joe from Merrimack. Hey, guys, good to hear that you're still on. I hate to do this, but I agree with Paul.
This
has to be a first one for me. I really don't want anything to do with Moss.
Well, I'm actually surprised that anybody doesn't want him.
He's a distraction, and I don't think he brings anything useful to the table, even at veterans minimum, which I doubt he'd accept. I read the article where he talked about coming back to the Pats, and I noticed at the end he added his usual, I want to get respect. And if I remember correctly, Andy equates respect with money. Okay, so here is my question. With the lockout in place, I assume they'll still have the draft, but can owners negotiate contracts with draftees?
No.
And another quick question, if the season doesn't start up until after preseason, how can you cut down to a 53-man roster?
Well, they're going to have some sort of training camp.
I know that they said that it has to be 3 weeks minimum from the time they come up with an agreement to when the season starts. So they
now,
have
whether they have formal preseason games or not, I don't know. But there's going to be a time period to evaluate.
They also may not have a 53-man roster. You may have a 65-man roster for the first 2 weeks.
If it comes to that, to what Fred just said about 3 weeks.
Yeah. I mean, all these guys that come off suspension, you're given roster exemptions, so they'll have some form of roster exemptions, I would assume.
Let's just hope that we don't get to that point. And at some point, in the spring here, it gets resolved.
Cooler heads will prevail.
Tim and Clovis via Walpole.
Clovis?
I don't know where Clovis is. Sounds Irish.
Because of clover?
Yeah.
Is green?
Yeah.
Although may not even be an Irish word.
May not be.
Four-leaf Clovis.
Anyway, he says, what do you guys think of our picks at 17 and 28 to move up to get Quinn?
Yes.
I agree with Andy that using...
He's not even listening. He just heard the name Quinn.
I agree with Andy that using the 2-for-1 will get what we would have had in the first place, one first rounder.
Exactly.
Then we take offers for the 33rd pick.
Take
a lower second rounder this year and a second rounder next year.
What is it, potty break time? Eric goes, he comes back. Paul goes.
Did you hear the linebacker Fred, from San Diego said about Goodell, the players will implode because they can't keep their pie hole shut.
What'd he say?
Telling future rookies to boycott the draft is a bad idea. Your thoughts?
Well, yeah, I don't like the idea.
Now they're saying they didn't say that.
Yeah, they're saying they weren't.
They're not encouraging them not to show up.
Yeah, but you know what? That does nobody any good. It really doesn't. It doesn't help the player's side. It doesn't help in their struggle. It makes them look bad. It makes them look childish.
Tell you what the photo op is, though. With the second pick, the Denver Broncos take Von Miller, and he's shaking Goodell's hand.
He's seen the two participants
in the lawsuit.
But you know what? Well, I think it was Ursay made a great point the other day.
I doubt it.
No, he did, actually. He said, you know what? I just saw Chris Hinton the other day.
Oh, yeah.
Who was involved in the 87 dispute. And you know what? They hugged. It's like old times. They were good friends. This isn't going to last forever.
Oh, no.
The bitterness, the hard feelings. No. It's a temporary thing. So don't act like children.
Some of it. Right.
Let these kids who've been dreaming about this for half their lives have the opportunity that all the other veterans had, at least all the other high-profile veterans had, by being able to go to New York, go on stage, shake the commissioner's hand, get their jersey and cap, leave the stage.
Don't be vindictive.
Exactly. And don't have this secondary silly thing down the street or whatever. Enough.
Olger from Barcelona writes in, long-time listener, first-time emailer, blah, blah, blah.
Olger?
Not Olga.
O-L-E-G-U-E-R. Olger? Olgura?
O-L-E-G?
G-U-E-R.
Olger?
Olger.
From Barcelona?
Barcelona.
She sounds hot. It's a woman, right?
Oh, it is?
I don't know. You keep talking about trading up in the next draft, and although I'd love it, I don't think it's going to happen. I really don't see this draft as a very talented one. It might be better to keep doing what we do best in draft day, which is trade down, get some picks for the future.
Oh, enough with the future.
The future is now! However, if we trade up,
I think we can land
a top prospect. It's all about finding a willing partner like the Jets. When they got Mark Sanchez, they gave up the 17th and 52nd for the 5th. So are you telling me that trading 2 first-rounders wouldn't get us to the top 5?
It would get us to 6. Maybe the 5. I mean, you can convince somebody, but trade value chart, it's to the 6.
I would tend to agree with the emailer that they probably won't do it because that doesn't really seem to be what they do often, in trading that high up. But the reasoning, I think, is off. If it's a weak draft, I think you should want to get as high as you can to ensure that you get a good player. If there's a scarcity of good players or paucity...
Right.
As the Prince of Pomposity might say.
Well done, Paul.
Right. So having a lot of picks is not good in a weak draft.
So especially, what you normally do...
Especially if there's going to be a rookie salary scale.
Or especially for a team that's drafted 24 players over the last 2 years. I mean, how many players are we just drafting? Sooner or later...
But at least you could argue with the whole theory that we felt there's really very little difference between 20 and 40 the last couple of years. Well,
now
by all accounts, there's a huge difference between 20 and 40 this year because it's not a very deep draft.
Alex says, hello, bitches. A couple of shows ago, Paul said that PFW was like a big family, so I want to say hello to my drunk uncles. I'll leave a question for an off-season debate. Is Marty Schottenheimer a Hall of Fame coach?
No.
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 Great coach, but not a Hall of Fame
coach.
Not a
Hall of Famer.
Good coach, not great.
I think he's great.
Well, if he's great, he should be in the Hall of Fame.
No. I don't think he's one
of the
best.
Greatness doesn't get you to the Hall of Fame?
Nope. Fred and I have a tough Hall of Fame.
Wow.
Great doesn't get you into the Hall of Fame.
I think then, Paul, you're overusing the word great there.
Right. Great means great.
If he's great, he should be in the Hall of Fame.
No, I think only the truly elite.
Oh, elite? So elite is not great.
Oh, elite's better than great.
Better than great.
The best of the best. A Hall of Famers to me.
Okay. Isn't that what great means?
But you don't think that, you don't think that anybody can be better than great?
Very good.
There's varying degrees of great.
But yeah. Elite,
when I say
exactly.
great, elite comes
I'm with you. I'm with
but
you.
Great to me is like Tom Brady is
like greatest.
Randy Moss is great. Deion Branch has never been great. Wes Welker's never been great. There's greatness, and then there's a lack of greatness.
Yeah, we just have a different use of the word, that's all.
So you think Marty Schottenheim is great?
I think he's great. You don't. You think he's very good.
Yes.
So I mean,
I think Marty Schottenheimer is Deion
but
Branch.
I think there's a lot of guys. I think there's a lot of guys above Marty Schottenheimer.
Yeah.
Not a lot of guys, but I think there's guys above him that are Hall of Fame worthy, like Bill Belichick.
Right. Great.
It's just a different definition, that's all.
Yeah.
I think we're saying the same thing. You're just using different terms.
That's a good one to argue about. I listened to the show. They were arguing what great is.
I think Marty Schottenheimer is very underrated as a coach because he has not won the big one.
Right.
But that doesn't mean to me that he's not a great coach. I think he is a great coach, and I think that he is not Hall of Fame worthy because
he wasn't great in the playoffs.
He never did it in the playoffs.
There's something to be said for that, though, Paul.
You know? That's why he's not in my Hall of Fame.
He's not putting him in the Hall of Fame. You don't even listen anymore. You just want to argue.
There's something to be said for it. Yes. What I'm saying about it is he's not a Hall of Fame coach.
But I think that lack of success in the playoffs keeps him from being great.
Okay, it keeps him from being in the Hall of Fame to me. We're saying the same thing.
Elite? Okay. Superior.
Jordan in London. Tremendous. I'll stick with a classic. Hey, guys, and Eric. I totally agree with Paul's philosophy of not drafting a running back in the first round unless it's AP, only putting AP to annoy Andy.
I need to get clarification on that because now I'm seeing people that I think should know better. Does he have multiple nicknames? Stripper should know.
I've heard a lot of people call him AP. I know what you're talking about with the all day.
But does he have a second nickname, or do people just assume? That's what I need to know.
Or are they coming up with their own nickname?
My guess is they're probably assuming.
But now I'm seeing, I won't say it's Schefter, but like Schefter-esque people writing AP. Like people who should know.
It was like Adalys Thomas.
Right.
People would call him AT by mistake. It was AD. It was his first and middle initial that he was going by, not Adalys Thomas.
But I've seen the AP now so much that maybe it's become a nickname, or I don't know.
Anyway, for similar reasons, I really don't want to take Danny Watkins. Guard from Baylor. He'll be 27 by the time the season starts in, so can only have really 5 years of high-quality production.
I was thinking about that walking to my car yesterday, actually. How much does that have a bearing on taking him?
Here's the mistake that Jordan might be making. You know, he's taking the average lifespan for guards. Because he started, he'll have that same lifespan, but maybe
he started later.
He's not as beat up. Maybe he can go a little further.
That's a good point.
Because I've seen some old linemen in the NFL.
Jackie Slater played 20 years.
A few.
Yeah.
Very, very few.
But most of them don't because they
Bruce
get beat
Matthews,
up.
Bruce right? Matthews,
right?
They get beat up.
They're like greats.
If you get to be a starting caliber offensive lineman and you're a legitimate star, like you'd be a starter in pretty much any team.
Mm-hmm.
Chances are you're going to play double digits in your career as an offensive lineman.
Right.
But if you
start at 22, that's 32. If you start at 27, that's 37. There's a big 5-year gap.
But like
gap
Fred
there.
Said, he doesn't have all the years of
wear on his tires.
High school,
I'm not
college.
Sure it's just wear, though. I think the age is a factor.
I was kind of talking separate
maybe.
To the Danny Watkins example that the emailer used.
No, but that's what I'm asking. Does that affect his value? If you said Danny Watkins, I love him. But, I mean, he's
knock
already
down
4 years over what he should be. Like,
knock him down a round than you would normally take him?
Right, and then you're probably not going to get him because somebody who loves him and
just
doesn't
needs an offensive
can't believe
line,
that he's going to
so
be there
right.
and then take him.
Because,
yeah.
I mean, Mankins has now played 6 years, right?
Yeah.
So, you'd be 33 at this point in Mankins' career, in Watkins' career.
Mm-hmm.
You know, right when he's starting to get to free agency or... I mean,
but if you think he's that good and you get him for his best 6 years, I think that's worth the investment.
That's the side I went with. I actually think if you can guarantee me, now I need him to be good quickly, obviously. He doesn't
he needs to
get
start
much time.
Pretty much day
you
one.
You have to say he's pretty polished. He's
mm-hmm.
a veteran.
He's very mature.
But if I can get 6 years out of him, I'll take it.
Mm-hmm.
In the NFL, if you give me 6 years of Pro Bowl caliber, Stephen Neal type play, I'll take it.
Brent in Switzerland writes in, as today is St. Paddy's Day. I'll be at the pub drinking Guinness with a few other Pats fans here in Zurich
nice.
While you guys are in progress. but I had a couple of questions.
I was going to say in Prague.
but I had a couple
of questions. I thought that was coming too.
I wouldn't mind going to Prague.
Really?
Sorry.
Sure.
Oh, I thought he was getting mad.
But I had a couple of questions for you now that the lockout is in full swing. As the Bills announced pay cuts and Cardinals potentially may too, do you think all the teams are in similar positions? The Bills have always been rumored as being tight with their money, so that comes as no surprise. What other teams may also follow this route, Jacksonville or Carolina?
Well, it's not just the money. It's the revenue streams. It's what goes on.
I mean, other than
soccer teams, newspapers, you know.
Other than the Jets, I know, like, the Cardinals announced coaches and front office people. You know, so that's a very limited, you know, number of people.
And high salary people.
And I would wonder around the league how many teams.
And they're going to give it back once the games start. So it's
if there are no games missed.
That's what I mean. Yeah, yeah. If there's no games missed, they'll get it back.
Right. But if the games start in week two,
right,
they're under no obligation to give any money back.
Right.
But I thought the Bills employees kind of took it on the chin the worst. 25% pay, up to 25% pay cuts, I guess. But no furloughs at this time. Well, wait a minute. You're paying me significantly less.
To come in every day?
To come in every day. I'd rather have a furlough.
Right. Right. Yeah.
Don't pay me, but I'm not coming in either. I don't have to spend the gas. I can be with my kids.
Right. Yeah.
But I wonder how many teams are going to do
something
and not announounce it.
Yeah.
I mean, what? I mean,
I sure
that
wouldn't be announcing it.
Right.
Well, it'll get out there. Yeah. I mean, yeah.
Yeah, I think it would, but it all depends on what – like, if you're doing something with the coaching staff, let's say Jacksonville is the example they used. I mean, I'm not sure that all the coaches would get out there and want to ruffle the feathers of the guys that are paying them. Maybe they wouldn't. Now, I agree. If you're doing, like, what the Bills did – and it's across the board. Some guy making, you know, 18 grand, you know, as the assistant to the assistant, you know.
Jockstrap picker-upper.
Yeah. He's going to, what does he care? I mean, it's a job that is not really all that imperative to his life. If I'm the assistant coach, I'm not necessarily going public with this to, you know, if no one knows about it.
I also don't really understand. A place like Buffalo, which I don't imagine they have a ton of things going on in the offseason. With their stadium, and they don't have a soccer team, and I mean, I don't know, but how are they losing revenue right now?
I don't know.
Well,
what
that's
on.
The thing I haven't. So you're cutting
their pay
this out yet.
Now, whereas, why don't you just wait to the season? And once we start missing games, okay, you're losing revenue. You lost all your season tickets. Now cut my pay. Okay, I see what happened. But what revenue are the Buffalo Bills losing today?
Yeah, I mean, unless you're doing things with players in the off season and things like that that you can't do now.
How much is that?
How much are you making money off of that stuff?
I'm with you.
Especially in Buffalo.
I find it hard.
I think they're using it as an excuse to take money.
There's no question.
And actually make money, because that money could gain interest. And the interest that they would give back is probably less than the interest they're getting.
Yes.
So they're probably making money.
Yeah, I don't think it's fair for owners to take this out on people who have nothing to do with these negotiations.
Well, but that's a different argument. I agree with you, obviously. You know, we kind of fall into that. But I think that Andy's point is a good one. What exactly are teams losing right now? And what will they be losing in the next 4 months?
Right.
In terms of revenue. I know that there's marketing deals that maybe companies might not want to commit themselves to.
That could be.
But until games actually get lost, how much revenue are these teams losing?
Well, when you think
isn't that the whole point behind a lockout? We can lock them out now because it's really not costing us that
much. Well, when you think about it, though, you bring up a lot of all those marketing deals happen in the off season.
Yes.
So that might be part of it.
But
run out every year. A lot of them are multi-year deals.
And we know from talking to some people about the different language in some of these deals that, like Andy said, if you lose games, then you have to go worry about paying back.
Right.
You know, just like the season ticket holder things that have been a big topic of conversation around the league.
I think Ralph Wilson is stiffing his employees to put another painting on the wall.
So teams are getting their season ticket revenue for the most part. And if they don't, then they have to, if they don't play games, then they have to pay it back.
Right.
Isn't it probably going to be the same kind of deal with a lot of these a lot of the marketing deals with that revenue? I think Andy's right. I think some teams are using it as an excuse to trim salary.
I also like this week's Ask PFW and think a few of the questions were interesting considering what you guys normally discuss in PFW in Progress. I laughed out loud at Andy's response at work and had people looking at me yet again because of PFW. And can you make Paul snarf again this week?
That has to be organic. Yeah.
Also, I'm interested to order PFW online for myself and as a gift for two others. I hope this helps you guys keep you guys going.
Yes, we'll call Carol, 1-800-494-PATS. That's not actually Carol. That's an automated system. But
wait, just go to PFW online.
It's more reliable.
Somebody sent one of those one of those bank checks today. You know the checks that come if you do it on like your online banking?
Yeah.
For $469.95 instead of the $46.95.
Well, maybe they wanted a 10-year subscription.
That's what I told Carol. Cash that and give him a 10-year renewal.
She's like, no, I got to call him and see if he messed up.
Ken Walter has a question for Paul. Paul, as a 2-time Super Bowl champion place kicker, holders go, would I be considered elite or just great? Be honest. Happy St. Patrick's Day from Ken Walter, who is relieved they aren't moving punting touchbacks up to the 25 because, let's face it, pooch punts were never a strike.
I love Walter.
No, you were a stiff in, by any measure.
He's also glad they didn't change the punting out of bounds rules because that would have been a major
issue. Got to do something about that punter. It's costing them games. What a collapse by Clemson in this game, by the way. Went from up 10 to down 12 in a blink.
I thought all these games were over.
Yeah, this is the tournament
starts today.
Yes.
No, it actually started. Round one was Tuesday.
Who did you think won the title this
year,
Fred?
Honestly, I've been in such a cave for the last 2 days that I forgot today was Thursday.
I thought all these games were over.
I thought it was another special Thursday.
No, I thought this was NIT.
Do you think Kansas won at all? Or?
I don't know. I don't really care who wins NCAA this year. I'll get hooked eventually, but not yet.
Your president went all chalk. Did you see that?
Oh, yeah? Who did he pick?
All number one seeds, and he's got Kansas over OSU.
Your guy.
Okay.
He was able to squeeze that in for SportsCenter between rounds of golf.
It's okay.
While the world
while
is
Libya
falling apart.
falls apart.
While the Mayans are being proven right around him.
Let's see. Hey, guys.
Just
Andy, Eric, Paul, and Fred. I want to point out 4 things. First one, what's the email address of the Kraft family?
Never mind.
Right to keep the show on air because it is the only bright spot on Tuesdays and Thursdays.
Wow.
You can just go to patriots.com and email the front office.
Feedback, front office.
My second
feedback,
point is,
which is Paul.
I have seen on ESPN that the Patriots talk to Mike Pouncey because they like his versatility.
Or because Bill Belichick has been to Florida every year for like 5 years and talks to every prospect at Florida every year for the past 5 years.
Please tell me they won't draft a guard center in the first round.
My big fat
head. Get one in the third round or later. So.
I said this to Paul yesterday. Can somebody report to me when the Patriots don't talk to, look at, scout, or break down a player?
Any prospect.
Actually news to me.
I mean, if they knew the list of players that they talked to, they wouldn't be doing this.
Right. At the Senior Bowl, the Combine, private workouts, before this.
It's hundreds.
They do their work.
My third point is about bringing Moss back. ESPN was saying that Randy wants back. I would be okay with that only if he accepts to get the minimum wage, whatever it is in the new CBA, on a 1-year contract.
Yep.
He would have to talk to Bill O'Brien because those two had an altercation at the game against the Dolphins on Monday Night Football.
Reportedly.
And my last point is, why is the NFL becoming a girls' league? Seriously. The kickoff is one of the most exciting parts of the game. Listen, Roger, in the NFL, football's a man's game. Players will get hurt. You cannot do anything about it. It is just the nature of the game. Do not pussificate football, please, courtesy of Andy Hart. Andy is awesome. Paul is a wise guy. Eric, I can hook up you up with a nice Brazilian woman. And Fred, keep on not listening to the guys. That's what makes you Fred.
Does she have a Brazilian?
I don't know. But those Brazilian women, Eric.
If the field is bare.
Oh, my God.
Enjoy.
You should dare. All right. Well, that's
going to
do
it.
Stick it there. Oh, we're done.
That's it. It's 2 o'clock Eastern.
Another hour.
We actually have a minute to go.
Got to go. All right. That's going to be it for this edition of PFW
Green
Beer Progress.
Calling.
Have a good weekend, everybody. You never know. Maybe something will happen that will be good news
we'll
for the
see.
NFL.
And, you know, we'll see.
And we'll see you next Tuesday. Hear what I'm dealing with in that school at least. What's running through my mind comes through in my walk. Two fields of soul from the way that I talk.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to PFWOnline.com. There's even a web-only international option for for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.